welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Phone number 866-901-ADAM. I had to go look at it. I had to look on the wall. 866-901-ADAM. Welcome back, everybody, from vacation. I realize I have the mind of a small child, and I don't always realize it until we do things like these vacations. I'm off for a week. About day number five of my vacation, I think to myself, what do I do for a living? It's weird. And then I think, well, what is it? And then it's like as if someone said, oh, you do a radio show. And I thought, oh, well, that sounds pleasant. Is it in the morning? How does that go? I'm not sure if I could do that. That's my feeling is I'm right back to square one. I'm a sophomore at North Hollywood High about day number seven or eight. Where I haven't done my job, what do I do? What is this?
Does
what do you call
not,
that?
Does it not feel like we have not been in here in about 73 days, at least? That is so foreign to me, what we're doing.
That's number one. The number one. Well, also, I would if I'm in charge, you'll come back on vacation, you'll start work on a Tuesday, and you'll start at noon. Or at least have 4 hours tacked on to when your starting time is. If you start at 8 o'clock normally, then you can start at noon. If you start at our time, you can start at 10 in the morning. Whatever it is, we'll give you a four-hour ramp-up pad and an extra day off just to kind of slide, just to seamlessly dovetail into the work week. But it is weird, and I actually have thoughts like, geez, I wonder if I can do that job I used to do, that old job, like some Disney movie about a pitcher phenom who's been out of the game for 20 years. Can he take the hill again? It's been 7.5 days since I've been here.
And already doubts about whether you can continue.
Can he
thank
do
goodness,
it?
Thank goodness. I knew, you know, from the first day in January to this point now, I know firmly that I cannot do this job.
That's right.
I have no such concerns.
Ozzy is going to be in doing a movie review. I saw him all week putzing around my house. He threw a barbecue for it's unclear who he threw a barbecue for, but he threw a barbecue at my house on Wednesday. I think it was Thursday last week. The thing that's funny about Ozzy and the relationship that he has with everybody but me, the relationship he has with everyone else is a happy-go-lucky guy, likes to barbecue and fix up people's houses. The one he has with me is I pay him. So everyone else, including my wife's, Ozzy's, what's going on down here today? Ozzy's barbecuing. What is it? He's barbecuing? What day is it? It's Wednesday. He's throwing a big barbecue at your house. This is awesome. And I'm always like, listen, who's paying for this? I'm not going to. He's supposed to be. And everyone's like, whoa, the guy's barbecuing. Leave him alone. Including my wife, by the way.
Don't get in the way of the flap steak happening.
Oh, I got to tell you, you can't stop the flap steak. But I have people, including everyone in my family, saying all the time, could Ozzy come by and just put up the screen door? Could Ozzy come by? And he could, but you understand, I ultimately pay him. They never seem to work on that point. They think that Ozzy, they really look at Ozzy as like, I cut my pinky off and I put it in a mason jar with some tap water and grew into a little El Salvadorian guy who does all my bidding. It's not like the part where he has a family, an apartment, and a car payment, and I make all of them.
Let me tell you something. I think the time has come to finally hail Ozzy for the genius that he is. He's really found himself quite a life here in America.
He certainly has. He hitched his team to my...
Can't you admit that he's taken you for everything you're worth now?
Oh, yes.
Can't you see that this is a master scheme on his part? You've been duped.
God knows what he was doing to Lynette while I was out of town, too. I was
at the... how'd that go? Went off to looking cars or whatever.
Pebble Beach, Mecca for super rich guys. Good if you love cars. Not great if you like people, though. See, a lot of guys, you know, there's bad all around us. That's what I want people to focus on this morning. There's bad white, and there's bad black, and there's rich, and there's poor. And people sort of focus sometimes on, Hezbollah or gangbangers. But there's a lot of bad rich white guys, too. And they're not just oil tycoons. These are the guys who pull up in the Ferrari These are 50-something-year-old orthodontists who climb out of the Ferrari wearing an orange Ferrari shirt, a Ferrari cap, and dragging along a 9-year-old who's also wearing a Ferrari hat and Ferrari cap. There's nothing more obnoxious than climbing out of the car that you're in wearing essentially the jumpsuit of the pit crew that works on that car. It's horrible. Now, if it's Acura, maybe I'll give you a pass, or if it's Nissan or something like that. But the Ferrari guys, it's the same dude every time. It's the guys, they wear the expensive Italian loafers and no socks. They wear shorts, and their legs are always tan, and they have great calves for some reason, even though they're kind of paunchy guys. They smoke a cigar. And they wear the orange, now it's not the red, but it's kind of orange, called Scuderia red hat and jersey, and they dress their kids up. And then the women they get along to go along with this charade, that's the amazing part. The old ladies climbing out of the Porsche wearing the orange, or the Ferrari wearing the orange Ferrari jersey and cap, too.
Is that the first wife, or does it appear to be the second wife?
Looks trophy. Ask. The guys in the 308s, the Magnum cars, they got their first wife. But if you see anybody in the F40 or in any of those Enzos or anything, they got the trophy wife. A lot of hot trophy chicks hanging out. Lots of guys that basically are in a tax bracket where you could look at a $4 or $5 million automobile and think, I may squeeze the trigger on this one.
So that's what is the point? I don't know what this is. I know I'll be accused of being a woman for not knowing. But what is it? It's just a collection of cars, and you look at each other's cars? Or what?
Well, first they have, this is in Pebble Beach up here in Northern California, depending on if you're in Southern California or Northern California. But it is... First, they have the race, the vintage race at Laguna Seca, which is a great track nestled in the hills. And they have all the vintage cars from the 60s and 70s.
That?
You just go.
Oh, you just watch.
You just
it.
Go and watch these guys racing multi-million-dollar cars all over the track. And then you go to the Concorso Italiano, all Italian cars. And everyone just sits there and drinks Italian beer and looks at the Ferraris. And then the Pebble Beach, that's the big show. That's where there's, I don't know, must be... 10, 20,000 people show up at this thing. And again, $200 million worth of cars just parked on the 18th fairway over there at Pebble Beach.
Oh, they actually pull them onto the golf course?
Yeah.
Huh.
They drive them right on out there, and everyone like dresses in period garb and walks up and down.
Did you?
Yeah, of course. If sweatpants and flip-flops are period.
They wore that in the Renaissance.
Circa 1994. Yeah, didn't say what period.
I got to tell you. What the hell kind of thing is this? What kind of vacation is that?
Well, you get to... here's what happens. People fly their cars in from all over the world, all over the country.
You bring something?
No.
You just go and look at other people.
Yeah, you just go and you see, like, Ferraris from the 50s that they made one of that you'll never see again. Or here's the one that won the Pan America race in 1964. This one won the Targa de Florio in 1969. And then you stand in front of this car... And you realize they made one, and it cost $4,000 in 1963, and the one you're looking at is worth $9 million now, and there's some rich guy from Florida who owns it, and they just do the whole thing. I don't stick around for the judging and all that kind of stuff. You just walk through. But it's really weird. I mean, it's really time capsule-y stuff when you walk by and you see these 1921 Mercedes-Benz. It's a 16-cylinder. And you realize they had 24-inch rims back then. They had these huge rims. They weren't spinners like they have now. But they have these amazing things, and this was owned by the Shah of whoever, the Prince whoever. And, of course, everyone's long gone, and the car remains, and that's worth, you know, $10 million.
Wow.
That's about it.
24 rim and 16 cylinder. I hope Teresa during the commercial can explain to me what the hell that
means. I have no idea.
All right. So let's figure out what's going on with the show. We have an FBI criminal profiler who's going to come in here. I should say call in here and talk about John Carr and that whole situation that was unfolding over our break. Also, the aforementioned Oswaldo is going to... He's doing snakes on a plane. I heard $15 million.
Yeah.
Maybe a little disappointing for them, right?
Well, they say it's respectable, but disappointing based on the internet buzz.
No chicks, evidently, going to see that movie. What can Adam complain about? Fantastic. And Panic Channel with Dave Navarro is going to be playing live in studio. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk a little JonBenet Ramsey with FBI Profiler, and more. Much, much more after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Here's a crank call from the Crank Yankers Vault.
This is Betty.
Hello, Betty. This is Niall Standish calling. I'm looking to have some invitations inscribed with calligraphy. It's sort of a rush job. I'll need them in a few weeks. I need approximately 275, and money is no object.
Oh, so what do you want written on them?
Get your asses ready to be slapped. This year, we want to double the amount of raw, red asses that we had at last year's ass-slapping competition. Bring the hardest paddle you can find and get ready to be spanked, you dirty, dirty pigs. Yes, yes?
I don't think I can do that.
If you like, I can get you on the guest list.
Give Adam a call at 866-901-ADAM. Now here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, he is. Quentin Van Zandt is going to be on in a second. He's a former FBI profiler. We'll talk a little JonBenet. Now, what the hell kind of name is that for a kid? But it struck me because I hadn't thought about it in about 4 years that Jean or John or Jean. Mom's dead, right?
Yeah, Patsy recently passed away.
Ovarian cancer, something like that. That's horrible.
Yes.
And then I always just assumed the brother did it or had something.
I always assumed that Patsy was covering for the brother.
I had some thoughts about the brother doing it or at least being involved somehow, like it was a mistake, and then they wanted to cover things up. Obviously, this car, and I've just been following it loosely because I prioritize and, you know, think about Delahays and Bugattis and other expensive automobiles,
right,
and don't turn the sound up on the news when I'm on vacation. But this guy, John Mark Carr, when he's being led from, by the way, flying first class.
Yes.
Notice him flying up there, not Southwest.
Uncuffed.
He's a creepy looking guy. I guess he was in Thailand, or where was he?
He was in Thailand.
He's
Thailand,
the real life.
Yes.
He's the real life version of Pee Wee Herman with the pants. Have you seen like up really just about to the nipples?
Yeah.
Well, first guilty of that.
First, my take is we could put this guy down whether he ever got near the Ramsey house or not. He's there for the sex tourism, whatever.
Yes.
That's nice when your country does big sex tourism stuff. We're not adults. We cater to pedophiles. Mainly welcome pedophiles. Big banner. Big banner across the Times Square in Thailand there. Come on down, pedophiles. Can't get laid in your country? What do they have? Pesky laws? Come on down. Come on down.
Right, and I love little boys.
Come down, bring your boners and your spare change and get to getting. Water's warm.
I believe he had a teaching job there, which is extra creepy.
Yes, these guys, you know, here's all I need to know from watching enough CNN is when the guys bounce around, when they float around, he went from this job to that job, he went from town to town. If I'm hiring anybody, I want to, here's the answer I want. Where were you born? In this office. Really? You've never left this office? I've never noticed you before. I've only been here 6 years. Standing right there by the potted plant. Never left. Because right here, I was born in Texarkana, but I come by way of,
a drifter.
Yeah, when I hear the guy's been floating from gig to gig, that's trouble. That he's just one step ahead of the law. Trail of bodies behind him. That whole thing. I've had 86 teaching jobs in the last 12 months. Not a great sign.
Well, what's the only thing that's going to be weirder is, and everything that I've seen in the last, say, 3 days or so on the news, all the experts seem to think like he didn't do it. I guess this guy.
So unsatisfying.
How creepy is it going to be if this guy had nothing to do with it?
Well, we'll know either way because there's DNA evidence.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And then they run these things where it turns out like half the guys in prison confess to something they never did. To me, I want a CAT scan for the guys that confess to murders and rapes and things when they're at home. But B, I want an award given to the guy who got them to confess the stuff. Because you couldn't get me to confess to ordering French toast if I ordered Belgian waffles a day earlier at the IHOP. I can imagine eventually. And they always do that thing where it's like, look, after 4 hours of talking a guy in a dark room and having cigarette smoke blown in my face, of course I'm going to confess to raping and killing the neighbor girl. What? Couldn't take another half hour of that?
You said you like links more than you like sausage patties.
You know what? You're right. I did get it in the patty form. Clint?
Good morning.
Good to talk to you, Clint Van Zandt. Clint, why don't you give us your background, please, before we get started?
Sure. I was an FBI agent for 25 years. I spent half my time on the street and the other half divided between being the FBI's chief hostage negotiator and being a profiler in the FBI's behavioral science, or the ill-fated, ill-called Silence of the Lambs unit.
Uh-huh. And as far as profiling goes, let's just say somebody, a young child, is abducted from a home in a suburban neighborhood. What would the profiler have to say about that?
Well, you start out with ground zero. You say, you know, in so many cases like this, you always have to rule in and rule out the family. Whether the father's name is John Ramsey or John Walsh of America's Most Wanted, it doesn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. If your child is missing or killed in a home, you either rule in or rule out the family. Statistically, 14-1, the killer of a child comes from the common household if the child's murdered in that house. Mm-hmm. So that's where you start. Now, I mean, statistics be damned, all right? I mean, the only thing that I can think of that's worse than losing a child is being accused of having anything to do with it. So if the Ramseys didn't have anything to do with it, they're double victims. And,
yeah.
You know, what a terrible thing to have gone through. You know, everybody's got a nose and everybody's got their own theory on this thing. But this recent guy that, you know, you guys have just been talking about, John Carr, I was looking at a headline on a New York newspaper today. And, you know, this recent movie that is called Snakes on a Plane, where the headline shows a picture of Carr and it says, Snake on a Plane.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, that's him. That really, really fits.
I saw the Christian Science Monitor this morning as well.
That's where it was. I was listening to some television show last night, and they were letting listeners call in and vote guilty. It's like they were a members of the jury.
It's call a democracy.
In. All right, we've got 7 guilty and 6 not guilty. Hang the bastard. You know.
Well, what do you think about John? Is everyone's just named John in this case? John Ramsey, John Bonet, John Carr.
They're all Johns.
Right. So what do you think? Do you think he's guilty? Because there seems to be some inconsistencies with the case.
Well, as this one caller on a television show last night said, you look at the guy, he's got to be guilty of something. So, you know, take him for whatever you got to get him for. Let's get him off the street.
Right.
And I thought, that's not bad. You know, you look at this guy, and I heard you guys doing the Pee Wee Herman bit on him, and, you know, that really is who he looks like. Now,
or Ed Grimley, if you remember.
Oh,
yeah. Short from SNL.
That's right.
I'll tell you the real victims here. Forget about the Ramseys. It's the Carr family. It's Pop's Carr's been working at the same hardware store for 41 years, so has to go in tomorrow morning. Hey, saw your son on an airplane.
How's he doing? The real victims are people who watch cable TV and for the last 5 days have watched this ad nauseum.
Yes.
To see this guy doing the Thailand version of the New York City perp walk back and forth and back and forth. And now,
you think his pants would slide down eventually, but they keep getting higher.
Well, there's nothing that's going to catch on, I guess, because we're told he was there looking for a sex change operation.
Fantastic.
Whether that was completed or not, we don't know yet.
Well, what is your personal opinion about the Ramsey case and who killed JonBenet, and was it this guy or was it somebody else?
Well, you know, I was never able to get away from the family unit. I mean, a grand jury looked at him, and a grand jury looked at him for 13 months and could not find enough linking evidence to suggest anybody in the family did it. And, of course, we have the great intruder theories that have flown around. I mean, you know, short of who killed JFK or something like that, we've never had so much interest. You know, and this whole thing, what bothers me about this whole thing is that cable TV was just starting to come into its own 10, a dozen years ago, and the Ramseys happen to have these almost soft porn pictures of their daughter
Yeah, and beauty pageants.
Beauty pageants. Yeah. And then cable shoved these down our throats 10 years ago. So everybody in the world knew who this little girl was. I tell you what, there are 18,000 homicides in the United States every year. The reason we're talking about JonBenet Ramsey today is because the parents had a couple of videos of her walking down and forth, back and forth on a ramp, wearing a hat, singing the Good Ship Lollipop. If it wouldn't have been for those videos, none of us would have any idea who that little girl was.
That's a good point. There are young children killed tragically every day in this country, and even young, attractive, blonde ones, but there's not hours and hours of footage of them. That's why if the young Ace Man had been killed at age 8, we wouldn't be talking about it in that month he was killed in.
That's a good reason to put your kids in a pageant in case they go missing. You've got footage.
Now, what about DNA samples found on JonBenet's underpants and under her fingers? Are they going to be able to just get a DNA sample from this new guy, Carr, and if either matches or it doesn't? And if it doesn't, well, then there's no way he did it?
Okay, let's do the short CSI version of this. The DNA that's found on her underwear is mixed with a drop of blood that's her own, but the DNA has, it appears to be two different contributors. DNA has to have 13 markers to have a complete Bill Clinton did it to the exclusion of anybody else on DNA. Mm-hmm. And the DNA that's on her underwear and the DNA under her fingernail, neither one has a complete 13-set marker. There's just not enough DNA there. Mm. So they've already done a cheek swab on Carr. They took a Q-tip, they stuck it in his mouth, they swabbed some cheek cells off, they put it in a baggie and sent it to the United States. They'll redo that now that we've got him here. They will, no matter what television tells you, number one, CSI can't do it in 45 minutes, and number two, it doesn't take 30 days. It can be done, if you're really hustling, in 4 or 5 days, you can do the DNA, you can run it out, you can compare it. So we ought to be getting pretty close, but because of the limited sample, they are either going to be there, what they're going to be able to say is absolutely it is not John Carr, or else Carr fits into a pool of a whole lot of potential contributors who might have done it. But they're not going to be able to say, to the exclusion of anybody else in the world, it was John Carr.
Well, then, so let me just recap here. John Van Zandt, I should say Clint Van Zandt, the only guy not named John in the case. Clint Van Zandt, ex-FBI profiler, is on the phone. We're talking JonBenet Ramsey. So if you need 12 markers to get an accurate DNA matchup. If you have just some of those, then you could be included as if your blood was A positive or something, but there's still a portion of the populace that you would be pooled into if this guy's DNA comes up.
Exactly. So the DNA in and of itself is not going to be the silver bullet that everybody thinks it's going to be.
But it could prove that he had nothing to do with her, right?
That's the positive side of it. If the DNA now let's go another branch off the tree, because there are many people who say, well, that could have been a contaminated sample. It could have been something left over from the manufacturing process of her underwear, people that had handled it, and then it was packaged like that, and then she scratched the cloth on her underwear, and that contributed it to under her fingernails. So it may have nothing to do with this case whatsoever. So the prosecution is either going to get a slam dunk, it's his DNA close enough, let's run this thing down, it's not him, and then they're going to have to explain, well, if it's not his DNA, it could have been contaminant from someplace else, so still a suspect.
Clint, what are the chances that he is going to be just let off as soon as they send that DNA sample to the lab?
Well, you know, now they've got him. I mean, you can't bag him and tag him yet because you got him in custody. You know, this is not catch and release like in the Natalie Holloway case. They've got this guy. They've brought him back. They're going to have to run this down. But look, who so far has ever put this guy into the state of Colorado, much less Boulder, much less the Ramsey household?
Well, he has an ex-wife. And by the way, she's the second victim in this, the poor person has to admit, yes, I decided it was a good idea to marry this guy. She says that he was home on Christmas, that he never was home, but one place he was, one day he was Christmas, and he couldn't have been over in Colorado with the Benet family. And then goes on to say, I hate this guy, and I wish I wasn't an alibi for him, but I'm just speaking the truth, which makes me believe she's telling the truth.
And, Clint, what do you experience this a lot? Guys who claim that they killed somebody who didn't want What's the point of that?
Remember Charles Lindbergh, of course, the aviator. 1932, his son was kidnapped for ransom and subsequently murdered. 200 people claimed that they kidnapped and murdered the Lindbergh baby. Yeah. In this case, in the JonBenet Ramsey case, three people that I know of in the last 9.5 years have already confessed, been investigated, and been excluded by the police without this media shark feeding frenzy that's taken place. But this is a different breed of cat.
I'll tell you what I do, and I'm gonna pass this along to my young son. I go ahead and confess to a couple of murders and a couple of rapes. I know there's no way they'll pin me to. Then when I actually start my spree, 4 or 5 years later, I come walking in the sheriff. Well, get out of here, Corolla. We've heard enough of your tall tales.
Crazy Sonny Corolla.
Right.
Crying wolf again.
It's also not a bad way to get a free trip home from Bangkok if things aren't going well.
First class. Eating them warm nuts up there.
Yeah, you know, part of it, too. I mean, I hear everybody banging, oh, they had this guy in the front of the plane. Well, number one, you don't want him to sit back with the general population. They would.
You do
him.
If you're in first class.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Those disaster. Are the victims, the other people that bought their business class.
Who'd
tickets.
You sit next to? A fat guy and a pedophile. It was horrible.
It was great, and you paid $10,000 a ticket to do it, too.
That's a plus, for me, I'm not a religious man, but I do kind of believe if a plane is going to get hit by lightning today, this very well may be the one. I'll go down next to the pedophile. Fantastic.
Well, wait, Clint, can I ask you a question? He does have some prior accusation of looking at child porn.
Very much so. He's been convicted in California of misdemeanors of dealing with child porn on the internet. Of course, the guy's in Thailand, which is the most active sex trade country probably in the world. 11 million people go to Thailand every year for a sexual vacation to get illicit contact with children. How'd you like to have that reputation as a country?
Yeah, I know. What a delight. Hey, look, we can't judge. It's just a different culture.
Right.
They believe that their 11-year-old should have sex with 44-year-old guys from Boca Raton. Hey, we cannot judge.
Okay,
cannot, impossible.
Bend over.
Impossible to judge.
Doesn't mean
there's
he
no
had
right and there's no wrong. It's just a cultural thing.
It's just different.
Just different. Yeah, all right. Well, we'll be following the case, and I hope you'll check back with us, Clint, and tell us what's going on with it and give us your insights as well.
Well, this guy may not wind up in jail, but he belongs on the funny forum somewhere.
Yes, I agree. Look, I'm all for just sort of looking at this as a mitzvah, as your people mm-hmm. would say. Clint Van Zandt. We didn't want the guy for the job at anything, but it turns out we have a pedophile. Let's just put him down. And are you ever cured of this? Yeah, I always say to people this. Look, you're into what you're into. If you're into blondes, you're into blondes. If you're into big boobs, you're into big boobs. If you're into young chicks, you're into young chicks. That's about it. I mean, if you look back to high school, any...
I'm in the Brusca's ear, by the way.
Heterosexual. Right one still, right, though?
Sure.
If people look back as a male, we'll just talk males here. What were you into in high school? Did you like them tall? Did you like them short? Did you like a little big bone gal? Did you like a big bust gal? What were you into? You're into that today. 20 years later, you're into that, and you'll take that to your grave. Mm-hmm. Actually, it'd be nice if I could literally take it to my grave. Big busty broad, buried with the Ace Man in the pine box. But that's the way you'll do it. Now, if you're into naked 9-year-old boys, I don't imagine you grow out of that. I imagine that's burned in even deeper than the guy who likes a double D cup or big ass or whatever you're into, or dark skin or light skin or blonde or dark hair, whatever you're into. I would say if you're the more deviant, whatever, the further it's burned into you. Thus, there's no opportunity for it to come out. And prison is not the place to shake that loose from your delicate psyche. You go into prison. If I went into prison tomorrow liking big boobs, I'd be out in 12 years looking for a set of big boobs. That's number one. Find big boobs, check in with parole officer, apply Taco Bell. I physically have a list. It's physically in my wallet. Literally. It's literally in my wallet right now. That's what I do. If you go in liking 9-year-old boys, you're going to come out liking 9-year-old boys, maybe even more.
Yeah.
So but how's that ever going away?
By the way, he is. If he does spend any time in the clink, he's going to do terrifically. Just looking at him, he looks like a guy who will thrive in the joint.
Oh, definitely.
Oh yeah. No, he'll be running the Aryan Lowriders or something in a matter of seconds.
Okay, Junior. Bend over.
I'm sure he'll establish his dominance immediately.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. All right. Well, good. And I know guys like that got scrambled at a young age. I'm sure some uncle came in and diddled them and screwed up their wiring. And I'm sorry to hear it, but we have to put them down. I look at it no different than a pet. And, you know, it's funny.
It's for its own good.
People that enjoy pets don't share my theories when it comes to human. They look at pets like they're people. I look at people like they're pets. Mm. Little twist on it.
Right.
My feeling is if you have a dog and that dog was beaten and that dog was abused and that dog was tortured, then that dog's a liability. Can't let that dog around kids. That dog's going to bite somebody. That dog will never be right and everyone excuses it. But eventually it hops a fence and bites someone and then you have to put it down because we don't have enough resources to contain this dog and the dog could potentially do great harm in society. Well, same thing with people. I'm sorry for what happened to this guy when he was young. I'm sorry, Bill, I know I'm looking at you. I'm sorry, buddy. Bill, the board operator. I'm sorry for what daddy or uncle or school teacher or gym coach did or camp counselor did, but you know what? We got to put you down.
Or at least send them to Thailand.
That's right.
My parents are fine.
Okay. Now.
You sound very defensive, Bill.
Yeah, it's very defensive.
Bill is not a pedophile. God's sake.
Yeah, I'm not, well, not convicted.
Yes. It's one step away. Clint Van Zandt, by the way, I'll give you his website. Livesecure.org is his website if you want to check it out. Tee up the news. What can we look forward to?
Well, I don't know if you've heard, but there's a suspect in the JonBenet Ramsey case. So you'll hear it here only. Yes. And we're going to talk about the New York Times feature on you. Adam Carolla ran over the past week and a little bit of snakes on the plane.
Oh, steamed about it.
All that.
New York Times article.
Also, Ozzy got a movie review, and we got Dave Navarro's band, The Panic Channel, in here. All that after this.
Adam. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Your buddy Jack's back from Little Vacay. Can you smell what the Jack is cooking? In studio live, we got Panic Channel, Dave Navarro's new band. He was in a band called Jane's Addiction. Never heard of him, but apparently the kids like him. Also, Ozzy's going to be in studio reviewing the number one movie in America, Snakes on a Plane. Holla at your boy, late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I have a correction. Here's Teresa Strasser with the news.
Well, Saddam Hussein's second trial opened today, but he refused to enter a plea, this on charges of genocide connected to his offensive against the Kurds almost 20 years ago. The ousted Iraqi leader faces a possible death penalty if convicted. You might be thinking, wait, wasn't Saddam Hussein already on trial? Yes, but the verdict for that doesn't come in until October, so he also faces a hanging if convicted for that. Now he can appeal it.
Let's put him on the lap of John Carr and just do the double down on the chair.
Well, John Mark Carr, we just obviously spoke to the FBI profiler, who I think we can all convict him of being creepy. We know that much.
Yeah.
He himself has confessed to killing JonBenet Ramsey. He landed in Los Angeles this morning, so he's here in L.A. They're waiting to ship him over to Boulder. Now, over the weekend, a lot of people who had known and worked with him came out and did interviews. Here's a guy who taught with him at a school. Now, apparently he was shuffled around to many a school. Here's what one of his coworkers remembers about John Mark Carr.
Strange, not very outgoing, kept to himself, didn't make friends, and, very strange relationship with his students in terms of how he disciplined them, very stern and too strict, really, is what a lot of teachers said. And,
not outgoing.
Just a very odd fellow.
Huh. I had him as pegged as sort of the rugged extrovert type, but not outgoing. Kind of guy spent a lot of time on a computer. By the way, guys like that didn't spend a lot of time out of the house before the computer. Now with the computer, forget about it. I mean, they'll never see daylight. If you're one of those weird, creepy guys from the 70s or 80s, at least every once in a while you had to go down to the corner and grab yourself a spank rag or something. Now, forget about it. You're locked in. You're not going anywhere. You have a magical box that brings you pictures of naked children.
Well, it's unfortunate that all of the people who worked with him then didn't warn other schools that maybe you shouldn't hire this guy.
I don't know what it is. Who has a greater code of silence, priests or teachers? But they don't seem to talk about what goes on when the guy moves on.
I mean, I took this job. I don't work with kids. And Bruska called my references. I mean, wouldn't you just, if someone's going to be working with kids, wouldn't you just call their last employer and go, was there anything strange about John Mark Carr? And then they go,
yes. I mean, there would be...
Say no more.
That was not long enough, by the way. The would be a little more like, here, like you asked me the question.
Listen.
Hello.
Hi, I'm thinking about hiring a new teacher, John Mark Carr. What do you think of him?
Hold on. Okay, Sheila, can you come in here? I got to go. I got to use the bathroom. And then I come back in. Thanks for taking over, Sheila. I need to see those documents on my desk. Yeah, but just be a 46-minute.
Right, and now there's, legally, you haven't said anything, but I know not to hire him.
Yeah, that's what it would sound like. And whether it's the priest that's been at 50 churches or the teacher that's been at 50 schools in the last year and a half doesn't set off.
Do you think I should hire Father Joe?
Yes.
So now over the break, the New York Times, the venerable New York Times, ran an interview, a feature story on Adam Carolla. The reporter had a dinner with our own Dave Damashek and you, Adam. And this was part of the reporter's observation, and I'm quoting from the article. Quote, Mr. Carolla has a long rectangular face, and Mr. Damashek has a round face. And when the two men sit side by side, they make the number 10.
A round face! She called me a pie face! One and two. By the way, she thinks she's so clever, and I can't do the math on what she's suggesting. Yeah, Adam Carolla's number one, and Dave's a big fat zero.
No, that's what she didn't mean that.
I think so, yeah.
That's what she's saying. Well, she called me a pie face. Why would someone choose to attack me like that? That's my question. Why would she, Adam Carolla, New York Times article, well, but let me stray a little bit to point out that the guy with him is fat. What kind of thing is that?
My head is just as round as Dave Damashek's. I think she'd used that before somewhere else or had ripped it off because a nice woman, not an incredibly clever woman, seemed a little clever for her. Really did. Yeah, and here's the other thing. It just seemed like that one was preconceived, but she was one of these people that did interviews and took notes but didn't record, which always makes you think, you know when one of your mom's friends repeats a joke that she heard on a late night show's monologue and they always F it up? I always sort of picture them when a 55-year-old woman's going, I'm not so sure they're going to get it just right. Now, they make notes, but the notes are just shorthand squiggly lines. It's about every 18th word they write something down. It was a fine article, but I always wish they would just record it.
Really? What? I never record. In journalism school, they taught you the recorder can break. Always take notes.
But what if a person is a funny person and they're talking fast and they're telling jokes and what you're doing is getting the gist of what they're saying, but you're not assembling it the way they have?
Well, you learn to write really fast and to read your own chicken scratch.
All right.
Well, she had the 10 joke. It was, it was
10
mediocre.
Joke, I'm a zero head, right, is what she called me, a zero head.
All right, you can read this article. I don't know where you can read this article.
It's online, New York Times.
The one and only time
13th.
I will ever be in the New York Times, and it's
wait a second.
To call
wait
me
a
fat.
Second.
Well, when I confess to killing John
Bonet. Right. Yes.
There's always
yes.
another way.
That's
now,
right.
At the box office this weekend, Snakes on a Plane did a respectable but not remarkable $15.3 million. It barely edged out Talladega Nights, but here's the controversy about Snakes on a Plane being number one. They included the Thursday night box office numbers, and if they had not, then Talladega Nights would have beaten it. But in any case, I'm going to save you from seeing the movie. Here's Samuel L. Jackson from the movie.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane! Everybody strap in!
I think that's
about to open some windows.
It's going to open the windows. because that's how you get reptiles out of the plane.
Did you guys see the snakes?
Depressurize the cabin. Not interested.
No.
First off, the snakes look very CGI'd. I'm not so interested in the animated snakes. I'm sure snakes do a fair amount of biting, but I'm not sure that they wink and have that weird ghoulish look when they bite you. They just bite you, and they bite you in the ankle, not so much in the nose. But I can't figure out the plot. Somebody's going to try to off some dignitary, so we brought a whole bunch of snakes on a plane because you can get snakes through the metal detector, but you can't get explosives through.
If anybody can clarify this, it's Ozzy, and he's going to be doing a review.
Fantastic.
So I'm sure you'll understand everything about the plot.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Is that Samuel L. Jackson?
Yes.
Very good, Brian. See, you're back.
You're back.
Took you no time at all. Okay, a 24-year-old businessman in India has a rare medical condition. I think you can guess from the name. It's called diphalus. Anyone?
Yes.
Diphalus. Not hard. You can probably guess. He has two penises. He is in New Delhi now, having one of the penises surgically removed.
It's also a crab shampoo, by the way. Diphalus 2000.
How does that work?
It comes with a mustache comb, or at least what appears to be a mustache comb. It's a prescription. I can talk to Drew for you if you want.
I always keep my spare wang and brush his ear.
Well, this gentleman in New Delhi, normally when a person has diphalus, which obviously is very rare, only one of the peni works, if you know what I'm saying. But this man, both work. And he wants to get one removed because he wants to have a normal life, get married, and have normal sexual relationships. This according to the Times of India.
But he can multitask. What a thing.
I don't know. Just the geography of that seems difficult. What really can you do?
Well, I'll tell you this without being too graphic. Please. Oftentimes when I've received pleasures from a woman, just through being visually excited, I thought, man, I wish I could get at my own junk right now. Problem is, it's being it's hidden. It's hidden in an oral garage.
Right.
But boy, this would be exciting if I could get to my own stuff. Well, now you can.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, because that's what guys do. Guys think, woo,
can't wait
to get at my own junk.
Yes.
Even when their junk is being gat upon.
So if you were this
enough
man...
Enough is enough!
If you were this man with two snakes on his plane, would you have one of them removed?
I'd have a third one added. That's right, for symmetry.
John Mark Carr, left and center. Right. Yeah.
As it is, I have a divining rod in my shorts.
I don't know if I can end on any greater note than that. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Nubby face.
Oh.
Dave Damashek, he has a chubby face. He tied the knot and then he gained some weight. It all went to his face. That's why Dave Damashek has a chubby face.
The New York Times is a pack of lies.
Yeah, you can't believe that paper.
All the lies that are fit to print.
What gives? Why the attack? Why would she decide she wants to take a little time out of her column about Corolla to mention that Dave is fat?
And Dave was nice enough to accompany me to that because it was a night out with, you're supposed to bring your buddy out with you, and it was kind of short notice, so I just asked Dave if he wanted to come that day, and we went out at like 7 o'clock and 8, and we're out of there by 8:30. We're supposed to go out on the town, but when you got to get up at 4:30, I guess it's hard to do.
I can't believe it.
You're a broken man.
By the way, we're trying to get that writer to call in to answer why she described you as
it. I think one way or the other, by hook or by crook, her name will resurface at some point this week.
Uh-oh.
I have a hunch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about sports. We're, by the way, just 10 days away from college football season. I know that doesn't float your boat the way the pros do, Ace, but this
it's
is
football.
A nice... Yes. Better than methadone, that's for sure.
Yes.
I can't wait for college football. But first, we still have our national pastime to enjoy. The Dodgers barely cooled off during our week off, soaring now 8 games above 500, 4 up on the Snakes and Padres in the NL West. This weekend, they went into the dangerous neighborhood of San Francisco and took 2 out of 3 from Barry the Creep and Company. Down San Diego way, said Padres beat said Snakes. Bums driving down PCH as we speak on their way from the Bay to play a big series against those Padres. Dodgers then move on to the Valley of the Sun to play the Snakes, so they can really lock down the division if they have a good week here. By the way, let me be the first to say this. Tom Glavine has the pitcher for the Mets might have a blood clot in his shoulder, which would end his season. So let me be the first to say, if that is the case, the Dodgers have a very good chance of not just winning the division, but going to the World Series in the very crappy senior circuit that is the National League.
Well, how many games do they have left? I know you think I'm going to make fun of this, but is
they
it
have about 38, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? 38, Brusca, off the top of
they'll lose nine in a row somewhere along the line. Don't worry. That's how it goes.
The Athletics continue to rule the AL West. The Halos won yesterday. They beat the Mariners, so they're still in the chase, but we'll see what happens there. Can't wait for Pac-10 football. SC starts down at Arkansas in week one. Oregon, Arizona State, Cal. Can't wait to see what goes down. And the big news of yesterday, Tiger Woods won the PGA Championship. He won the British Open a few weeks ago. Now it's two straight in the PGA, and believe it or not, I had the opportunity, because we were on vacation, to enjoy the tournament and sit down with Tiger just after. And I had a very open and frank discussion with him that strayed from the golf course and to his personal life, and that beautiful, beautiful life of his. Here you go. Tiger, thanks for joining me. First of all, congratulations. The British Open and now the PGA Championship. You must be on cloud nine, huh?
What I live for as a kid is to win the biggest events.
I'm sure growing up you never thought that you'd wind up with such an unbelievable fox as that wife of yours. Just listen, indulge me for a second. Walk me through it. What's going through your head when you're between the sheets with her?
I wish my dad was here.
You wish your dad was in the room? What are you talking about?
My mom's been there, but, Pops wasn't there, so.
So you, your wife, and your mother have all had sex together, and now you wish that your old man would have been a part of it, too. Odd choice.
I think Pop was definitely in my ear today.
Listen, I am no stranger to making love to another man's ear. Just ask Jim Brusca to make sure it's in his good ear. But what you're talking about is incest, man. Wow. I had no idea, Tiger. You are one weird, kinky dude.
Tiger Woods.
Wow.
World's greatest golfer, but oddball, apparently.
Is
sexually deviant.
Let me just say this, because I don't have a great relationship with my dad or Jesus Christ, so maybe it's just me, but please help me with this. I find it arrogant and sort of pompous and self-indulgent when guys get up there and talk about Jesus Christ and their relationship with Jesus Christ. Second to that is their dad all the time. He's here. I know he's here. I wish he could be here, but I know he was here. I like that one. I wish my dad was up here right now, but I know he's been watching me. He's in heaven watching you play golf. This is the whole thing. And then what's he do? Does he put the eye shade on when you're banging the nanny when you get home? Or how does that work? Does he see you do that? What does he see and what doesn't he see? Don't see you cranking one out in the lav of the airplane when you're flying over to Augusta, does he? Like, here's my point. Is it a little, like, self-indulgent? I know everyone. Maybe I'm just jealous. But that whole thing with, like, with my dad. Yeah, I'm sure 9 out of the 10 people that are watching you, that are commentating on you, that are in the press corps, parents aren't around anymore. They don't keep talking about it. You know what I mean? Am I an a-hole for bringing that up?
No, I completely agree with you, but listen, I'm just a pie face.
Enough is enough!
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. The great Oswaldo is going to do his Snakes on a Plane. Snakes on a Plane review. We're also going to recap a little action that broke out in here. I wasn't sure if Teresa was going to be here, by the way. I'm completely serious about that. I actually thought about picking up the phone once or twice over the break and calling Teresa and seeing if she was going to be here or not. But I thought, well, you know.
I'm a professional.
She's a pro.
Although yesterday at about 4, I started to not feel very well, and I just got in bed.
Brusca fever.
I swear, I had hot and cold chills, and I felt ill.
Brusca and Teresa went at it. I thought Brusca was a little out of line, I must say. I have to say that I like that everyone here needs a thick skin. I appreciate Brusca's sense of entitlement. No, it's not really candor.
I'm hilarious. Listen, I need more mic
candor's
time.
Just being honest. He actually manufactures things.
Yeah. I did not manufacture anything. And I have proof. I have a tape of her being bad.
That was... That so I stand by.
Blanchard.
I stand by, everything else was a half-truth at best.
Yeah, well... By the way, and she also got five other people to complain about her, not just me.
I think you might have manufactured
I did not manufacture anything. And one
whatever.
Person said insensitive and crazy.
Wow.
That wasn't me, by the way.
You're really helping things
right
now.
All right, let's not get Teresa to cry again this early.
I will not cry.
We will recap that debacle from last Friday after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Right before we went on break, we had another edition of the Friday Bitch Bag.
Uh-oh, Teresa. What's going on?
Teresa and five.
That's all of them.
Teresa and Brusca got into it.
You're a total gossip. That is completely
this
unprofessional,
This is not gossip.
Brusca.
We're talking about it in front of everybody
Listen.
Right now.
I love
and
you so
into
you've
it.
Known me at all in the last time. I'm the most insecure person here.
I know, but in the meetings you were...
I was clearly being ironic.
And into it.
You are full of lies. Right. And donuts. That was...
Call 866-901-ADAM. Let's find out if everything's cool on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Now, I don't want to pull all of the scab off of this wound. I just want to pull just a little corner off so we can get a trickle of blood, but I don't want to triage anybody.
Enough is enough!
Can I just say quickly that my personal favorite moment of that show was when Teresa made for the door and Lynch bravely went to give her the arm bar to say, like, ah, come on, stick around. And she went right through it like Jim Brown through Sam Huff. And Lynch knocked from his stool onto the ground. Thank Christ Fat Tad was able to get to the door.
I really, yeah. I swear, later on my dad asked me, well, did somebody actually physically prevent you from leaving? And I said, as a matter of fact, Dad, a 300-pound man named Big Tad.
Oh, you're being kind.
Tackled me. And he said, were you really trying? And I said, I was using all of my physical might to get out of the door. And I understood what it felt like to be, like, tackled in a game of
football.
Jesus, trying to get that boulder out of the way or
but
whatever happened.
I took
with
care
that.
Of Lynch with no trouble.
Well, you're like Reggie White giving a strong side tackle, forearm shiver. Just boom, just shed Lynch.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Talk about demasculating. Lynch knocked down in a heap as T went by, but Tad blocked the door. Okay, this was last Friday. We did the bitch bag, the ill-advised yet extremely entertaining bitch bag that we do every Friday. People write things about the employee that they hate the most, and Teresa's number came up last week. Brusca was relentless with this. I do appreciate your bravado or moxie or entitlement or whatever you want
to
call it.
It
has something to do with it. Yes, obviously it does. I like it, but you got to know when to let go of the chew toy every once in a while and let the guy throw the tennis ball again. All right, so we're going to do what with that now, Brusco? Little rehash of last week?
No, I just, listen, I want to move forward. That's the main thing.
You
do. I do.
Didn't sound like it during the commercial break, by the way, well, when you and Teresa were arguing.
The thing is, I'm not going to get into it because, I make mistakes too, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I take accountability. Mm-hmm. I screwed up. I said something I shouldn't have said. I apologize. On the other hand, when other people do, they should do the same. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Well put.
Other people, meaning Teresa Strasser. Gary?
Course.
Gary? Oh, let's see. I just locked the phone out. Oh, okay. Try it again. Try that. Gary?
Yeah?
What's up, my brother?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
A lot of people on the website there talking about Teresa and rushing to her defense and whatnot.
Oh,
yes,
nice.
You have a lot of fans out there.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Go ahead, Gary.
All right, I'm going to make this quick now. Number one, Dave, for going off on Teresa, but more so for calling Tad fat all the time. I think you know his name.
Going off on Teresa? I didn't even vote for her. What are you talking about?
Now.
What?
I think it's kind of chickeny for you to do that to him all the time. It's not right. He's under you, and you're calling him fat instead of big. I don't like that.
Better than being on top of me.
For Teresa, for what you do to Teresa, I didn't like you after that.
Right.
I'm moving on to Teresa now.
Uh-oh.
Teresa, very passive-aggressive, using your woundedness in the past as a shield, as a weapon to hit people with.
Yeah, like Hezbollah.
You jump out and hit someone, then you go back and hide behind your childhood and your pain.
Wow.
I don't like that.
Move over, Dr. Phil.
Wow.
Dr. Gary is on call.
15 years with therapy and no one's ever really gotten me until Gary.
Are you effing stupid?
But please don't cry again because I will throw my jaw out laughing.
It was funny. Even I was laughing.
I couldn't stop laughing at your tears. Yes, Teresa. Go ahead, Gary. Are you finished?
That took you all week, didn't it, Dave?
Now I'm proud to say it. Just came to me.
Who's left?
Fire under my ass this morning.
Gary, who's left?
Brusca.
Adam.
No, no.
Adam. Behind the scenes manipulator.
Yes.
Yeah.
Creating a toxic energy field for the sake of ratings.
That's actually not true. That's Brusca creating a toxic energy field for ratings. Oh. Adam was blissfully unaware of what was going to go down.
That's true. Teresa's right on this one. The only time she's been right in 3 weeks.
Yes.
Brusca, you are one of God's children, and you need our love.
I'm no puppeteer. I'm barely a string. I really am.
But you had no idea that was going
to
happen.
Above the fray, Corolla. Never has to vote. Never has to take any of the shots.
May I say this, though? At one point, I looked over at Dave, and I felt like this deep desire for you to stand up for me. Mm-mm. I thought, this is going to be Dave's moment. He's going to be
the week after you put me in the bag.
Uh-oh. Let me try to defend.
Defended you.
Let me try to defend Dave. He did attempt to stand up, but his head is so big he couldn't get off the stool.
I'm sorry. That's fair enough.
Dave, yes. Yeah, you can't. You got to realize that wound is still healing after he screamed
at
me.
Like, the look on his face was burned into my mind because he had a smug joy.
I was happy. Listen, the week before you put me on the list, instead of going back at you and putting your name in. Instead, I said, listen, I need no immunity. I revoke my immunity. Mm. I voted for myself again.
Dave.
I was pleased.
You can shut your pie hole for 1 second. I know it's difficult, but many callers in the last 2 weeks have called to insult you, and I've come to your defense numerous times. Wonderful. Is that not true?
Okay. Well, by the way, if Dave had a say in this matter, he would side with me. He just didn't want to talk about it. So just so you know, Teresa.
All right, so Gary.
Yeah.
Gary, you were saying that
psychic.
That
exactly
I am
the truth.
No, I will say this. This is what I will say in Brusca's defense. I got a lot of heat. I got a lot of heat for deservedly so. I agree. Obviously for the F-off incident that was referred to by Dr. Gary moments ago. but I'll say this. When you said to Brusca off the air, you said something much worse to him than I said to you about his intentions of trying the reason he was defending someone was because he was trying to F them. He's got a pregnant wife at home. He's the boss.
He's making this up too, right?
Uh-oh.
Continue, Dave.
I thought that is way worse than just to accuse him of defending a coworker, defending one of his underlings. By you coming back at him and saying,
I
that's because you
know
were just trying.
Talking about.
You
I'm were confused and lost.
You right. said to him, you but were listen, trying. You, ever, said, ever, you said you were trying to f. You're just trying to f that
the
worker.
The reason why I was defending that
why
work
you're defending
is I'm trying
and
to
and
defend.
That's
Can we
pretty
forward?
Out of line.
Clearly,
that's out of line.
Clearly a joke.
It was so clearly a joke.
That was not a joke.
The extent of you guys' confusion and misguidedness is shocking.
I agree. Hey, look. Yes, Gary?
We're making all this up.
You just...
So you were accusing me of creating an environment that lets all this hatred fester.
Well, I used to think you were a nice guy, but then I started going down that Howard Stern path where you lose all your ethics and integrity for the sake of ratings. For example, when you had that old wino lady on and you started to laugh at her and not with her. And you were just, I thought it was low, man. And, this bitch bag thing, it's...
He has nothing to do with that bitch bag, by the way.
Gary,
listen, we just explained it. It was me doing it. It's not Adam.
But there is a toxic environment. That's no joke.
Yes, I'm stirring it up a little bit.
And in the long haul...
For fun. I think it's fun.
Let me ask you this, though.
But Adam has nothing to do with it.
In the long haul, I understand that as a producer, you're a little bit out of ideas. But in the long run, is that a smart way to go to create a toxic environment?
I don't want it to be toxic.
The bitch bag is funny, but you took it way too far.
No, the nice thing about the bitch bag, I will say, though, it keeps people accountable, so maybe they don't act out of line.
Yeah, it's really nice. I couldn't wait to come to work today.
Hopefully the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Great idea.
Everyone will act in line.
Can we just get everyone a shock collar? Be so much more comfortable. Lance?
Yes, good morning.
How say you?
Well, Adam, love the show. I just want to let you guys know I do love the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just want to say, I love most of the show, except for the part where Bruska pipes up, you know? I think he should keep quiet, you know? He's a producer, Lance. Let him produce.
I agree.
All right.
Cut the line!
Right. Okay.
Thanks, Lance. The phone.
Noted.
No, you're welcome.
Noted. Well, let's see. Let me just give my overall assessment of things here. There's a lot of different personalities in this building, many different paths to this one place. I would say it's like a picture a wheel with the spokes being the road to the hub, but people coming from all different sides of the circle. I mean, think about how much diversity there is here. Not ethnically, we only hire white people, but emotionally. Did I say that out loud?
Yes.
Jack told me to quit yelling that out loud.
Yes.
But emotionally, you want to talk about emotional diversity, where people are from, their environment, their siblings, their parents. Brian, what the hell was that, by the way? Okay. Point is people in this business, I'm trying to think of a business. Here's a business where people don't talk that much. Cigar making.
Yes.
I see those cigar rollers, one sitting next to the other, not a word exchanged between the two of them for a 9-hour shift. This is an area that attracts people that have opinions, and that's great for on the air, but off the air once in a while, people keep the opinions coming, and sometimes the feelings get hurt. I would suggest, although I love the bitch bag, and we should continue the bitch bag, and we'll do the bitch bag now on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So you guys have 10 minutes to get it together. I would say that we should not treat every meeting and every lunch where a few Bloody Marys are put back as a fact-finding tour. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of squirrels gathering nuts during breaks, during off hours, during lunches, things like that. Don't collect so much.
Well, can I say this?
Yes.
One really creepy aspect that kind of played out in my head after this happened was that the recording that was made 2 weeks before. And in the meantime, I thought, for all those 2 weeks, like, Bruska was nice to me, and I went to his wife's baby shower, and I thought about, like, sitting at the baby shower all afternoon, and I happened, when I left here in tears, there was a card on my passenger seat from Bruska's wife, a thank you card for her baby shower gift, and it said, you know, you're such a nice person, it's been so wonderful to meet you, and I just felt like, how creepy that for 2 weeks you've been sitting
on
this.
That information.
Yeah, it just seems so premeditated.
Maybe we
and
should
cruel.
Hear that, by the way. Do we have that?
Yeah, this is Teresa talking nice about
the boss.
And by
the way,
here.
I stand by everything I said.
And I stand by everything I said. And I mean what I say
right.
as well.
Let's hear it. We don't have it.
No,
especially
about
the part about
I stand by it, and I said all of it to your face.
No, you didn't. This
I
was
did.
Behind my back, and it got recorded.
And I immediately
was Teresa talking about
you
Bruska.
Talking about,
and 2 minutes later, I said it to your face.
You would not talk to me this way.
And I still
you would not
mean
talk
it.
To, and I mean that you're insensitive and crazy.
Well, hold on a second.
Thing.
Everybody's allowed to have opinions about other people, even if they're shared aloud, that they would not say
that's
to that
fine.
Person's face.
But
that's all
recorded,
you do.
And
I'm the only one who
gets recorded. That's fine. If it gets recorded, I hear it. I can defend myself.
Oh, 2 minutes. So you doing the one big fist in the air means 2 minutes.
Mean? It means 2 minutes to
that
download.
That means 2 minutes.
I'm trying to do my best here under really difficult circumstances.
Right, we need to take a break.
Okay,
is it
good.
Literally going to be 2 minutes?
It'll be about 10 seconds.
Oh,
should
I
we take a break?
Let's recap what happened with this. Is basically
here it is.
Well, no, set it up.
Basically, I did cross the line a little bit when I said to her. That
humiliated me and screamed at me in a meeting.
I did not
scream. It was very unprofessional.
I said, after 15 times of her reaching for a compliment, I said, you know what? And she, you know,
you're irony impaired.
I'm not irony impaired. It is much of the truth said in jest,
right,
by the way.
Let's move forward.
So
keep going.
After 15 times of her reaching for a compliment, I said, you know what? You like Terrell Owens. It's a little bit
15
annoying.
15 times? You're lying.
Let me finish,
you're
please.
Lying,
let me,
stupid
I'm,
fool.
I'm a lying, right. stupid fool.
All right. Come on, you jive turkey. So let's move forward, please.
I'm not so stupid, by the way.
You're a liar.
No, I'm not so stupid.
He comes across as dumb. But he's not actually.
He's
actually
not smart.
Average
that's
intelligence.
What, it may be. I had no idea.
All right, let's
smart.
Come on.
Well, you know
let's
what's
just.
Smart?
All right, now see where we're going here. Just set up the tape, please.
Right. Well, she's
Teresa.
Yes.
Quiet, Bruska. Quickly set it up and let's hear it.
So I said that, and I was a little bit out of line in saying that, but it was just annoying. There's a pet peeve when people talk great about themselves and reach for compliments, even if you're joking. So I left the room, closed the door, and she was with like 5 other coworkers, and she basically ripped the crap out of me.
Let me say this before we say this. Can I say that at the end of this, which they've cut off, I said, And Brian, you were in the room, and you can verify this. I said that was really unprofessional. I shouldn't have said that, but you cut that off the tape.
Well, I didn't edit this tape, nor did I record it.
It exists.
He doesn't.
I actually wasn't here for this. Oh. Sorry.
Well, I did say that, and I said this is really unprofessional. I shouldn't have said this.
Okay, that's all I needed
for
you.
Wait a minute, Brian.
What
you didn't say
was unprofessional.
You're in
an apology.
You didn't say you're in the room. Said you're in a room. So to be fair,
I was in a room somewhere. Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. One thing to have a thankless job, but it's another thing to bless because it's sucker to me every
second.
Jessica! Just like humiliated me in front of a room full of people, and then he just tells Jack how to be professional. He was just like, you know, like if you say something funny, like every time I say anything remotely interesting, he sounds shocked.
Oh,
every time I pitch anything remotely interesting, he sounds shocked. Obviously, I don't really think that. It's a ironic, sarcastic joke, you stupid idiot.
Yeah. The good news is you're fired.
All right.
That's nice. And I told you that to your face without saying the C word.
You didn't say any of that to my face.
We had a meeting and I said, Jessica, I was being ironic.
During the meeting, you just cried.
Okay, look, people never say horrible things that they're thinking to the person's face.
Right, I understand that.
Okay.
But if it gets recorded and I hear it, I have a right to defend myself.
Okay.
End of story.
All right, let's push forward. This is just reliving the uncomfortableness of a week ago
Friday. And the
Friday.
Truth is, by the way, the truth is I do love Teresa, despite her ripping
me. Less.
Despite her ripping
love me. Love me less.
She has some faults, but she won't own up to her own faults. That's
you have to own up to.
I actually apologized on Friday, if you'll recall. I said I shouldn't have said that behind your back, and I apologized immediately after saying
that's
that.
That's fine. So now I can move forward. So that's why I said I can move forward.
We can put this ugliness behind us until this Friday. Then it's all coming out again. That's why we play the bitch bag. All right, the Panic Channel with Dave Navarro coming up. What can Adam complain about as well? Also, next, Ozzy is going to review Snakes on a Plane.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. This weekend, Big Tad stars in Snakes on a Plane. When Fat Tad's flight runs out of Fiesta Mix, all hell is unleashed.
You know all those security scenarios we ran? We smack in the middle of one we didn't think of.
An action thriller so big, its star had to buy two seats.
Oh my God, he ate the pilot!
Big Tad stars in
I Need Some Mother... Snacks on this motherfucking plane.
Snacks on the plane.
Yeah, good stuff. Was that Dave yelling, screaming in the background?
No, mine's more a high pitched.
Yeah, you're more Star Jonesy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah!
Do you need diamond earrings on the plane?
Diamond earrings!
To recap, that was my impression of Coretta Scott King getting the diamond earrings.
Yeah, Oprah's
Players Ball she has it once a year. I agree with the Fiesta Mix. I always say, if you don't eat it on the ground, you shouldn't. Has no place on the plane. The only place stuff you don't eat normally has a place in is prison. When you're in prison, you should eat things you don't get on the outside. When you're paying $700 to fly to New York, you should eat stuff that you've heard of. Snickers bars, things like that. Mm-hmm. Fiesta Mix, as I scream when I'm drunk at the stewardess every time, is, does anyone ever eat Fiesta Mix? I say to them, have you ever seen this in a vending machine on the ground? No, I haven't. You want to know why you've never seen it in a vending machine? Nobody goddamn wants it.
What is the excuse for that? That's an interesting point you raise. Is there some concoction, something about it that's healthy or
something that they're trying to pass off? There's a whole bunch of stuff in life that falls under economics where you go, really, what is the difference cost-wise between a small sack of Cheez-Its and this horrible, god-awful Fiesta Mix, which just sounds like, it really tastes like someone just stepped on a bouillon cube and dumped it into some cardboard in a small packet. What is the big difference? And then there's always some blowhard that goes, well, it's only 10 or 11 cents a packet, but then times millions, that starts to add up. But then my answer is, charge me another 9 cents on my ticket. I'll gladly pay it to get snacks I've heard of before. Doesn't that work out then, times millions?
Yes.
All right. Ozzy, I know you're confused and you're chomping at the gordito. to go ahead and do your review of Snakes on a Plane. You saw it. You're ready. Yeah. You're poised.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. You drunk?
A little.
A little. Oswaldo Castillo with his review.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
How was the barbecue you threw at my house on Wednesday, by the way, when I wasn't there?
You like it?
Well, I didn't get there until the end.
You like it?
Yeah, flap steak.
You enjoy it.
I make the nice flap steak, yeah.
The best for you, my friend.
Is he really drunk today?
No, that's how he is. He's drunk all the time.
Ozzy has a very soothing presence. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
He does.
Okay, the movie that I saw this weekend is A Snake in the Plane.
The title starts with an S.
S.
Snakes?
Snake.
Not it's Snakes on a Plane.
Snake in the Plane.
Okay.
The movie stars Samuel L. Jackson as Neville Flynn.
Flynn, yes.
Flynn. Rachel Blanchard as Mercedes, and Juliana Margulies as Claire Miller.
Margulies?
Margulies. As Claire Miller. The movie is about trying to silence a witness in a psycho-type piñata-like murder.
Piñata murder.
You remember Ronnie King?
Ronnie King, yes.
You know, the police que es en piñata?
Yeah, right? That's right. Yeah. That's right.
It's also a dirty movie. It's how many different kinds of snake, all color and size.
All colors and sizes of snakes you on
can,
the plane.
You can imagine.
How do they get the snakes on the plane? I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but don't they check bags and things like that? How could you get snakes on a plane?
It's weird, you know. Inside the plane, you know, later, you know, take out, you know, one python, you know, eating one guy. Oh, my God.
That's how they
that
did it.
That explains it.
Yeah. Taking a plane. It's weird.
Well, it's not just one snake, too, right? It's dozens.
Yeah. For one python.
All on the plane.
One python.
You know, one big snake, you know, eating one guy.
Wow.
Yeah, but Ozzy, please help me. Please sober up for just 1 second. How do you, and does anyone know, how do you get all these snakes onto the airplane with security and everything? Did they show how they did it? They didn't show.
No.
Was it believable? Like, here's what I'm saying. As far as I go, when I go to see a movie, the dozens of snakes on the plane is a really cool idea if they give me a tangible, believable way that all these snakes got onto the plane, then I'm in. If somebody just carried them on in their, you know, luggage, then I'm not going
to
believe it.
Yeah, if they're all on their way to the new, Fresno
the new
snake
zoo. Right.
Zoo, then yes.
Right.
Suppose, you know, the guy, working with snakes is living in L.A.,
yeah.
And put the snake, you know, in Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Before the flight take out, you know. It's crazy.
Okay. So what else? Keep going, baby.
In this clip, Neville.
We got a clip?
Trying to kick the snake from the passenger. Come on.
Everybody listen. We have to put a barrier between us and the snake. Grab everything from the overheads, under the seats, and let's build a wall. Let's go!
Snake wall.
Yeah.
So the snakes were going after them once they got onto the plane.
Yeah, they got every plane.
They were everywhere.
Yeah. But people with no feeling put thousands of pouches of snake in the plane to kill witness, but they kill almost all people in the plane. Instead, the flight was for Hawaii to elect.
LAX.
LAX, yeah.
Wow, even initials.
In Spanish, say LAX.
Right.
It's saying LAX something.
Here
is a clip the neighbor getting to fit to the difference, to the with the snake.
Enough is enough. I've had it with these snakes. Everybody find a way to secure yourself to this plane. I'm about to open some windows.
That's nice. Nobody chimes in and says, well, first off, there's no window. there. I mean, you got a door you could blow, an emergency door, but then aren't we just going to decompress and fall down from the sky? So that's what he did. He blew the door, and it sucked all the snakes out, and everyone buckled in.
Broken windows.
He broke the window?
Yeah, with two shots. It's crazy.
Oh, he used his gun. Oh, is he one of those sky marshals?
Yeah, he's transporting a felon,
the witness.
Okay. Okay. All right.
All say a snake in the plane left the reviewer cold.
And that was a movie review.
So, you just told us the end of the movie?
Yes. Yeah.
It's crazy.
A snake in the plane.
Snake in the plane.
Snakes on a plane.
The plane.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. We'll play What Can Adam Complain About, speaking of planes. We'll do that in a moment. 866-901-ADAM. You call up. You know how the game is played. Throw out a topic, something you think I might enjoy, and I'll figure out a way to twist it around and complain about it. Also, Panic Channel with Dave Navarro coming in. Going to play live in a couple of few. News, sports, our prisoner calling in from the penitentiary. Always good to talk to him coming up as well. All that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for What Can't Adam Complain About?
As it turns out, I can complain about anything.
Guacamole.
It has more calories than cheesecake, and it comes from a goddamn tree. And it turns brown the second the pit pops out of the avocado.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
You know you're blowhard when you hear your own opinions in your own voice and think to yourself, that guy's right! I actually do that sometimes. Yes, I'm right about guacamole. It does come from a tree.
You go, me.
Go, me, girl. All right, what can't Adam complain about?
Oh. Are you ready for this after a week off?
I gotta say, yes, I am. Okay. I'm rested. Actually, I'm not rested. I immediately snapped back into civilian time. I mean, I got up. I don't know about you all. I got up at 9, 9:30, 10 o'clock just about every morning of the vacation, which is, you know, I got up about 2.5 hours from now. It's basically when I got up. I can't stand those people that say, I'm used to getting up at 5 a.m., so I can't sleep past, oh, I'll sleep till 7, 7:10 on the weekends. Are you kidding? I'll sleep till noon. I'll immediately go right back into drunken college mode the second the weekend comes around. I will sleep as much as the weekend allows me. It's not one of those things where I usually get up at 4:30, so I can't sleep past 6:15.
Even better,
can't stand those a-holes.
Even better is thank goodness for work. I realized I don't know what I would do with myself if it weren't for going to work.
Please kill yourself.
I figured it out very quickly. Yeah. Makes me sick, the idea of coming back to work, as it does all the listeners.
Yes, yes. All right, let's do our intro. This is a little something called
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
I'm just going to start at the top. I don't know what the comments are. I'm going to move right down from line one, starting at Vinny. Vinny?
Yes?
What can't I complain about?
The amount of vacation you get.
Well, again, it's just what we spoke about. I immediately change my timetable around, which screws you up to no end, and realize that this is the way I should be living my life. Putzing around in a bathrobe, in a, like to call the leather stage down in the underpants. Just putzing around the house in my one house slipper, one flip-flop. Just putzing around looking for things to do all day. And announcing every day about noon, but never actually doing it. I think I'm going to take in a matinee. I stand up and announce that at noon every day. I'm going to take in a matinee, never actually go to the movie, but I like the idea that I could go, and that's why I make that proclamation. And then work is a sharp contrast to that. I got to hear Teresa and Brusket going at it during the break. I got Big Tad once again surprised that the boss man enjoys a little milk in his coffee. It's all new. So it's the contrast that I don't like. Thank you. David?
Hi.
Topic, please. Topic, please.
Beer. That you cannot complain about nice, ice cold beer.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm starting to complain about, what it's coming in. I don't look at myself as a snob, but I don't like drinking wine out of a plastic cup. I don't like drinking beer out of a foam cup. I like a frosty glass bottle, a stein, whatever it is, a schooner. Nothing better. Do not discount the schooner. Nothing better than the frosty schooner. That's the rounded one that holds, you know, 18 ounces of frothy beer, and you slide your hand under it. It's the poor man's brandy snifter. And when it's been frosted in the freezer, it's great. Now, because of a handful of a-holes and Big Tad, we can no longer drink stuff. Soon, we'll just be drinking it out of our own shoe. You'll be going to a ball game, and they'll be like, what size are you? I'm size 13D. Okay, that'll be $9. And they'll just go ahead and fill up your loafer, and you'll drag that back to your seat. You'll be drinking your leathery, warm beer. And they give you the beer bottle, but the beer bottle is now plastic. I got one of these. I went to a restaurant over the vacation. I ordered a Miller Lite, and they gave me the plastic beer bottle. Now you're drinking out of the weird plasticky thing that's leaching all the toxins out. The beer is great, but because a handful of a-holes decided it was a good idea to chuck a beer bottle out onto the field in 1973, now we all must be punished. Thank you. Also, what is it? What are those people? Where are you going with that? You know, when they're pouring you the glass? This also happened to me during the break, too. It was like, give me a glass. Are you going by the pool? What difference? Give me a glass, old man. Oh, if you're going by the pool, you're going to have to drink it out of a Tupperware container because we can't chance. What happens that I get by the pool with the glass? I all of a sudden become a Greek father on my bride's wedding day where I just start throwing it, just start yelling stuff and throwing glass into the pool? I can handle a tumbler by a body of water. I'm not going to fall into the pool and then throw the kid, I crash it onto a kid's head with water wings. All right, where was I? Thank you. Kevin?
Aloha.
Topic, please.
Direct deposit.
Don't like it. Never see the money. No sense of any, no satisfaction. It is nice. I mean, back when I used to get a paycheck, and granted, at the end of the week after taxes, it was $221, but it was a paycheck. It was a physical manifestation of the day's work. Now everything is just sort of done in theory. This thing is sent via the wire over there. Then you use the plastic to pay for that. There's no more cash in hand. No more satisfaction anymore. That's why I got to do that power move every once in a while. Damashek is familiar with where I take all my friends out to big steak dinner, except for I don't pay for all of it. I just need 70 cents on the dollar. I get a wallet full of cash, and then I pay for everything on the plastic.
I question that that's a power move.
That's a power move.
I like it.
All right. Let's see. Let's talk to Jason. Jason?
Hey, what's up, Ben? I love you. First of all, I love you, Teresa.
Thank you.
It's about, and also fantasy football. I'm down with that. Come on, pros.
Yeah.
Girls Gone Wild videos. They come out with new ones all the time. It's college porn. It's enough. It's not porn, but it's enticing. And then
all right. Let me say something about Girls Gone Wild.
Enough is enough.
I love Girls Gone Wild, but they've strayed from the flock. The thing that was great about Girls Gone Wild initially is it was so pure and so innocent. Just the chicks down at Daytona Beach, getting loaded, pulling the top off. That kind of fun and hijinks. Now it's sort of turned into porn. Chicks with the back tats in there going at it with other chicks. I got the crazy penciled in eyebrows. All of a sudden, it is taking a turn for the porn, and a lot of stuff does this. You turn on the Playboy channel, it's all porn now. You watch Girls Gone Wild. These are professionals now. It was nicer when we thought they were amateurs. It's like what steroids have done to the Olympics. They've ruined it. Now, soon, if I think she's actually a sophomore at Marquette, I am excited as all get out. If I realize her stage name is Sandy and she's been dancing for 4 years and she has a whole library of porn on the internet I could look her up in, it now is ruined for me. Am I right on this one, Dave?
I hear your noise.
I want to see the actual college girls going wild. They've taken a turn. They thought it was smart. Hey, we'll take a turn. They got to a crossroads. They got to crossroads. One of them said a college this way, and the other one said porn this way. I'm taking the porn road. Seems smart. Backfired on them. They've lost. lost their innocence, and thus I've lost my erection. Thank you. Thank you. When the innocence is lost, so goes the Ace Man's boner. Said it many times. All right, let's see. Let's do one more. See, Juggies. Let's talk to Mark. Mark?
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
You have a question about the Juggies?
Yeah, how can you complain about the Juggies from the Man Show?
Well, I really felt like, obviously, the girls were paid to be near us and enjoy us, especially Kimmel. And of course, everywhere you go, even this weekend, even at the concourse, hey, where are the Juggies? Where are the Juggies? Well, they're not here because we're not paying them anymore. Thus, they're not interested anymore. Oh. I mean, that's the sad reality of it. They're great girls. Had a lot of fun with them. And we hired, we factored the personality in. And most of them had good personalities. But now they're just a memory of somebody we used to pay to act like they enjoyed being around us.
Why couldn't you have paid them a little bit extra to pay like that, to act like they were interested in the writers? Because they certainly did not talk to any of us.
Smart. We paid them extra not to talk to you guys. But yes, I spend my entire life hearing, where the Juggies or where's Dr. Drew?
Really?
That's all I do.
Which do you prefer?
It's true.
If I go outside, oh, where are the Juggies? Where's Dr. Drew? Once in a while, they piggyback him. Where's Dr. Drew and the Juggies?
I was going to say, as if they just trail you, Dr. Drew and a pack of Juggies everywhere you go.
Then the most insulting is, hey, Jimmy, where's the Juggies? And ask Adam where Dr. Drew is. Out of that, where's an ass?
That was.
Thank you.
What can't Adam complain about?
We get them all together. Let's have a Juggy reunion in this very studio.
So be it. I don't think that's a bad plan at all.
That'd be fun and see what they're up to.
Speaking of fun, we're going to do one of our famous reenactments. What is the topic of that reenactment, Bruskett? Do you have that?
Well, let's do a thing about the John Bonet case with John Carr. Maybe we'll work it out. But maybe it's the call from
him calling
who? Him calling.
I kind of like him calling his dad, but we could work that out. Yes?
Let's figure it out during the commercial.
All right, we're going to hash that out. And then, like I said, one of our reenactments coming up, Panic Channel, The Panic Channel with Dave Navarro, coming in here in just a couple of few as well to play live for us. All that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. This Friday morning from 8 to 10, we're having a charity car wash at Cook's Corner on Melrose Avenue here in Los Angeles. Bring your dirty car and get that sucker clean for free while watching the Free FM Bod Squad do all the work. Hot chicks, small bikinis, lots of water, and your car clean. And it's all good because it benefits charity. Oswaldo will be grilling up the famous flap steak, and Big Tad will eat it with you. Just bring a donation, and we'll put the money to work to benefit autism through TCA. Talk about curing autism. Friday morning, 5925 Melrose Avenue in Los Angeles, one block west of Cahuenga. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
What's the talk part of talk about curing autism?
Time for talk is done.
I think it basically people don't really understand the disease, so they're encouraging people to talk about it to learn more.
Ah, I see.
All right.
See, I'm not so stupid, Therese.
Talk about it. She didn't say you were stupid. You're of average intelligence. That's what she's saying. She's generously saying average intelligence. All right, so that is this Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. We are going to do one of our reenactments, and then the Panic Channel with Dave Navarro is going to come in here and play live for us. So recap the story for us and get us started, T.
Okay, well, in the JonBenet, the now 10-year-old JonBenet case, a suspect, John Mark Carr, appeared to be in Bangkok. Now, even though he had been jailed here in the United States for child pornography charges, somehow he ended up in Bangkok with a job as a teacher in an elementary school. And it's unclear exactly how, but authorities in Boulder, Colorado, are linking him to the JonBenet murder, and they detained him in Bangkok.
We should enough with the dude teachers. Just chick teachers from now on. So they have sex with occasional ninth grader. Right. We don't need any dudes teaching. I don't trust a guy. You show me a 20-year-old guy in college who announces he wants to go back and teach at the high school he left 2 years earlier, I'll show you a pedophile. I don't like that guy.
So for the occasional Mary Kay Letourneau, you're fine with once in a while you get one of those, but it's rare.
Right.
Whereas the guys go bad more often.
I've said it many times. I don't like it when guys want to be troop leaders of their Cub Scout group. I don't like them to coach. I don't like anything. I think they should force guys to do it, just like president. I don't like a guy who wants to be president to be president. I like the guy who's running some very successful Fortune 500 company. I just want guys to come in one day and go, excuse me, we need a word with you. What's going on? You'll be running the country. I mean, we've been reviewing everybody. We've taken a look at Bill Gates. We've taken a look at your record and your college records and all the kinds of what you've done with this company. You've turned it around. Boom. You're in the White House. That's the way I'd like it. I'm convinced we'd have a much better country than we would if you have some guy who's basically a used car salesman, whose papa pulled a few strings to get him out of military duty, who's now just in the pockets of all the oil companies and whatever. I don't want that guy running the country.
Strategery.
I don't want the guy leading the Cub Scout troop who's dying to hang around with eight-year-olds and go up to the mountains with them for a few days to bivouac. I don't want that guy. I want the guy who doesn't want to go. I want them to tap the guy on the shoulder and go, huh, what? Yeah, you're going up. Are you high? I'm not going to take those snot-nosed pukes up to, come on, it's 2 days. All right. And then he just goes there and sulks and keeps to himself and drinks beer.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't That's bond the guy with the kids, but at least he doesn't molest them.
Yes, I don't want the guy who's fired up about it.
Okay, so John Carr, unnatural. He's busted in Bangkok by officials. They extradite him here to Los Angeles, and eventually he'll go to Boulder. Mm. And now he's confessed to this JonBenet killing, but it's unclear whether his confession has any merit. Or whether he's just some crackpot that wants to be close to the case. In any event, he was detained in Bangkok by officials there to be sent here to face some possible charges in the killing of
John Bonnet. He's not charged in Los Angeles, is he?
No, they have to stop over here for some reason because they're getting around extradition laws. Extradition can take months and months, but because he already has some outstanding warrant on this child porno case, they can get around that, but they have to stop here.
How about you stop in Florida? We don't have enough pedophiles here in Los Angeles. Come on down. Bring us your pedophiles. Hang out here. Why? Just go wherever, whoever's charging you, whatever state. Colorado has a beef with you? Keep flying. Jesus Christ. They don't have landing strips over there?
It is creepy that he's at the county jail here in L.A. right now. In any case, for a couple years, I don't think he was in contact with his family. It wasn't clear where he was. He went from school to school. He had outstanding charges in the United States, and apparently he taught in many countries. And I think his family had sort of either thought he was dead or had lost track of where he was.
So today's reenactment, the long reunion, the long overweighted, if that's even a word.
Overdue?
Overdue reunion between the pedophile, John, and his father. Yes,
and
yes.
I'll be John the pedophile.
Sure,
and you'll get to play the pedophile. Man.
Yes,
did you roll Chambeau for this?
It's all the juicy rolls, and I'll be the father.
All right,
so we've not spoken in years.
So what? I'm in jail.
Yes,
and I'm telephoning you.
I have no TV set either. I have no idea what's going on.
You have no clue. You haven't tuned into cable, and you're in jail in Bangkok, about to fly to the United States to face possible charges.
Very good.
And reconnect with pops. How many rings do we have, Brian?
Four.
Because again, you don't pick it up on the second one. People think you're desperate.
No.
I take it back. There's
three. Oh, three. I thought there's three. Hello,
Daddy.
John.
That's right. It's Johnny boy.
John, my boy. It's been so many years. Oh, you're Tammy. Guess who's on the phone? It's John. Oh, I'm so excited, my boy. My boy.
Dad, can we? I just want to talk to you one-on-one before we.
Sure. Sure. I could get Mama to pick up the phone.
No. Let's just talk man to man. Okay, for a second here, I just want to
what
talk
happened?
To you. Well, it's been
man
a long
man.
Time. Like you said, a lot of water under
what'd
the
you
bridge.
Do? You met a woman. You're ready to make an honest woman out of her, huh?
Nope. But listen, I've been doing a lot of stuff.
You want to come to work for the old man in the transmission center, huh? I always knew it one day you'd follow in the old man's footsteps. I couldn't be prouder.
Well, no, I kind of had a job, and like you did say, I did meet a nice girl.
I'll tell you, when you...
Some years ago.
When we lost...
That was a long time then. I went and I got some other jobs.
Sure, well, I know when we couldn't talk because you had become a secret agent. And I understood it, and I respected it. I understand the CIA has rules and policies, but... Yeah. Now we're ready to reconnect. This is going to be great. Thanksgiving. Honey, start setting the table. John's going to be here for Thanksgiving.
Hold on, Dad. I don't know if I'm going to make it for Thanksgiving.
You can schedule a flight before Thanksgiving.
Here's the good news. I am on my way back to the States. I'm not there yet, though. I'm over in Asia, in Thailand.
Exotic. Were you working UNICEF? What are you working? Trying to
My passion.
Looking for landmines?
No, but you know how I love children.
Oh.
Love to work with children, yeah. I mean. And
they're the future.
That's what I always, and sometimes they are the present, in both senses of the word.
Well, I always knew you loved it. I always knew you. I always know you love the kids.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
You're always volunteering to babysit as a youth, never accepting money.
Some people look down their nose at that. You and I, though. Thank you. I always respected you for respecting me.
Proud of the way I raised you, son.
Well, here's the thing.
So this is great. What airport? What time? I'll be there with bells on.
No, I've got some people.
You don't need a ride?
No.
You don't want me to pick you up?
No, I've got some new, they're friends. But I met
giving
some
you a ride
people.
Back?
I know
you got
some
a
new
lady.
People who can
bet
give me
you got a lady in every port, don't you? Take after your old man. Of course, before I got married in the service. I was a looker. I don't mind saying it.
Well, I mean, I really, I got divorced and everything,
free man.
Yeah. Well, ironic you would say that because I'm not free. As a matter of fact, I'm in Thailand, as I said, and I'm, as a matter of fact, more specifically, in a Thai prison.
Prison.
Right now, yeah.
Oh, I get it.
Tried to
break up a bar fight or something. Somehow you got caught up in that. Or some cop planted some weed on you, some trumped up charges. When you a couple hundred bucks get you out of there?
No, it wasn't. As a matter of fact, it wasn't
mix
trumped
up. You grabbed the wrong luggage at the airport. Next thing you know, they're dragging you into the hoosegow.
Well, do you remember that when that pageant girl, that JonBenet Ramsey, about 10 years ago?
Beautiful girl. Tragedy.
She was. God, she was beautiful. What? God, she was a beautiful woman.
Well, she was a cute girl, but yeah, I remember the story.
She was a woman.
Well, son, she was just 6-year-old, but.
Well, here's what happened. You know.
I remember it was tragic.
Yeah.
Are they bringing you back to work on the case?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did know her. You always have respected my privacy, and like I say, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But
you
know what? The heart wants what it wants, and
you wanted to be an FBI agent. Now they're bringing you back, special agent on the case.
Yeah, but more
cold case
on a personal level. I wanted JonBenet, and
is that one of them juices?
I would be the first one in line to drink it. But
what happened? Sweetie, don't set that table. Put the silverware away. Why did I get the horn of plenty up? Put it away.
Son, what
are you trying to say?
Here's the thing. Like I said, I'm in jail, and that's because, I'm trying to figure out the words exactly how to say this. I strangled and severely beat JonBenet Ramsey to death, and so I'm being flown back to the United States so I can be tried.
Well, you know, son, we're Christian.
Right.
And it says right there in a good book that cannot judge.
Thank you, Dad. Always there for me.
But in this case, I'm going to make an exception. I will put a bullet in you myself.
Oh, come on. Everybody makes mistakes. I made a mistake. I'm the first one to admit it. I can't help but feel partly responsible
Shauna,
for what happened to her.
I feel like I blame myself. I blame myself for not pulling out. I know you thought I was going to say for ritualistically abusing you as a youth, but it's really that you're ever born, son.
Well, the one thing I do hold you accountable for is for teaching me to wear my pants like Ed Grimley. What gives, old man?
Hold on.
I was a laughing stock.
Let me unzip.
Thank goodness I'm in the Thai prison. Out on the streets, I was laughed at, pointed at.
I can't hear you, son. Let me unzip my fly. There we go. See, I wear my pants so high that I have to unzip the fly so I can use the phone properly.
Well, the one good thing I think is going to come out of this is that you and I are going to be stronger for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they say a father never stops loving his son, but again, in this case, I'm going to make an exception. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Poignant.
Well,
as well. I hope that's not admissible in any kind of court.
We didn't end
this is all alleged.
We usually end with a catch, but this time we didn't
kill him. I'm sorry. Should we go back?
Yes.
Yeah, let's.
And
alternate ending.
And Dad?
Hmm.
You want to have a catch?
I wouldn't like that, son. I would love it. Thank you.
Daddy.
All right, there's our reenactment. We will, I see Dave Navarro's here, thus the rest of the Panic Channel boys are in here, and they will be playing live for us after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. You know him from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You know him from Jane's Addiction. And now, you'll know him for the Panic Channel. Dave Navarro, with Steve Isaacs, Stephen Perkins, and Chris Chaney. The Panic Channel, live on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep, that's all of them. Good to see you guys.
Yes,
good to see you too.
Studio audience.
Hey, is there a volume on this thing?
There should be something down there around prodigious package.
That. Oh, that's crystal clear. Good morning.
It's a good morning. Let's see. You guys are going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight at 12:05. Well, at least that's when the show starts. You guys playing outdoor stage out there?
I think the inside, the performance area.
Are you doing like an acoustic thing?
No, we're going full on rock.
We are.
Yeah. But I like that little intimate side room they have.
Yeah.
Well, the green room is the best in the business, by the way.
I think they're remodeling the main stage. It's mold damage.
Oh, really?
So we're in the little tiny little joint.
Yeah. Would you guys rather as far as touring goes, would you rather play big places, medium, or small intimate places?
I am actually a fan of the small intimate places because we really feel like if we're playing at a club that holds like 500 people, and the audience is such a huge part of our show that we almost feel that the band has 504 members that night, because it really does. We do interact with the audience quite a bit, and it is very inspiring to be able to hang out with them afterwards. And
yeah, you guys have all
play
been
Xbox in the back of the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
You guys have all been out on stage in huge arenas, and you don't even know it, but you start screaming when you get in front of a microphone and 18,000 people. I mean, does it change your actual performance? You know what I'm saying?
For me, what I love about the big stages is that there's just more space to run around on.
That's true.
You know, so that's, I mean, you just have more actual space to perform. But in the intimate clubs, it's almost more exhausting because it's tighter, it's hotter,
it's
sweatier, yep. It's dirtier, it's grungier. And
you know, as a drummer, I always see the same thing, four butts right in front of me, three or four butts.
And yeah, you never do see. So you don't know.
I really can't tell the difference.
They have to tell you at the end of the show.
Hey, by the way, it's a big show tonight.
You don't know if you're at McCabe's or the Big A.
Exactly.
It's all the Big A for you.
Exactly.
Four Big A's. Right in your face.
Yeah.
So what do you play? I mean, you do original Panic Channel stuff, but you do Jane's Addiction stuff.
No.
What do you do?
It's all original.
Panic
it's a brand
new
all
band. Original.
Yeah.
And how long does it take to get How many songs do you play in a set? How long does it take to create that?
10 or 11. And sometimes we close with, we've got a pretty good version of Dazed and Confused from Led Zeppelin that we play, which, you know, it's nice. Makes people happy.
Yeah. How does that work? Do you have to ask somebody permission? Do you have to pay somebody something?
Apparently not. No. No paying and no asking.
Yeah, live performance.
We're paying
you can do
them a tribute.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, anybody's song live performance. But if you put it on a record or you try to resell it, you have to pay them publishing.
I sound like a lightweight, artistic lightweight, but I love it when a band breaks into some old 70s rock whatever anthem in the middle of something.
Well, it's just the best, most exciting music that, you know, for musicians to perform, you know, to go into something like Dazed and Confused, which it's all about musicianship, and every member of the band is featured as an individual, and the band isn't featured as a collective. It couldn't be more fun.
And what are you guys going to play for us today?
Well, we were going to come here and play that loop of Feel Good that was just playing underneath. We were talking because, you know, it's actually only two chords over and over, and I can sing the hell out of it, let me tell you.
Oh, really?
But it's, I can. I'm pretty good.
Since they did that already, now what?
I always wondered what that was.
Is that the Gorillaz?
Feel good.
Oh, no. I hate those guys.
But you do?
Yeah, I
Time
met
for
them.
A new loop. We'll make you a couple.
Oh,
please.
We're taping. We'll be live.
Yeah, the thing about the English bands, I'm sure you guys have toured with enough of them. Either the super coolest guys you ever met are standoffish a-holes.
Just wankers.
Really?
Just a bunch of wankers.
That's a shame.
Yeah, no, well,
you might get a cool band.
That's true. We worked with Susie and the Banshees and with Bauhaus and Love and Rockets. Those guys were all awesome.
The best.
Just very, very cool people.
But I did tour with Oasis for a while, and that was a little tough.
Did you?
Yeah. Was it?
Porno for Pyros and Oasis.
What was that like, dude?
They were just picking on our outfits and our they got a point.
They do have a point. I don't want to get their backs on that one. You guys wore some pretty funny stuff.
That's true, actually.
But dude, what do they wear? They wear nothing, man.
Yeah, but they sold millions, didn't they?
We can afford to wear nothing, mate.
Do you guys go out now? When you go out on tour, who are you taking with you, or how does it work? Are people auditioning? Are people soliciting?
Actually, at this point, we do not know.
We're doing another club tour probably in the late fall.
But, yeah, I got to wrap up this rock star thing, and then we're going to go out and tour the world. And
we were just discussing this because Adam and I are both huge fans of Rockstar. Very sad about Zaida going home last week.
We're all very sad about that.
She was rocking. Every week she got better and better. Got to say, that last performance she did, she killed it.
Shed
it
a tear
was magical.
For the big Z.
Somebody's got a question, by the way, speaking of Rockstar Supernova. Go. Jack?
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Jack!
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's happening?
Hey, not too much. Just want to call and ask about Rockstar Supernova and a great show. And I love Dave. Hey, isn't he divorcing Carmen Electra and dating Jenna Jameson or something right now?
Yeah. Interesting question.
Probably never came up.
I'm curious how that ties into Rockstar Supernova.
It's a very tangential connection.
I have a question
about
Rockstar Supernova. Isn't he getting a divorce? We haven't covered that on the show yet.
Well, it says on your website you're not dating Jenna Jameson.
That is correct. I am not.
You're not.
But you made time.
No, I work at a radio station, and I did an interview with her at this Erotic LA event, which was downtown. It's like, it was like a porno supermarket where they have like DVDs and vibrators that talk to people and that, that whole world.
Right. Well, it's a vibrator that you can use as a microphone, Mr. Vibrator, they call it. It's great, whether you're being intimate with your wife or throwing a party.
It gives new meaning to, hey, good looking, we'll be back to pick you up later.
So you just interviewed Jenna Jameson.
Yeah, and then pictures circulated, and before I knew it, I was dating her, but.
Do we have some audio?
I wish I could confirm it.
Let's hear that.
Here's the audio.
He's a passionate man.
That was the interview.
Well,
that
you're sick. Look,
that was it.
You should now. You're single now. You can play
sir.
The field.
Yes, sir.
Now I don't want to pry, but it is sort of my job. Last time I saw you and
Karma.
Yeah,
but you're not one of those morning dudes that pries. And I know you, and I've known you for a long time. So be my guest.
Hey, everybody. Patrol's gonna be out there. Look out for that. It's a purple van with the Ace Man. It's a big mug right on the side. They're giving away bumper stickers. They're giving away travel mugs. Get on there. Give them the phrase it pays. Big Cat's gonna be down there. He's giving away t-shirts. He'll set you up. All right. Yeah,
I stand corrected.
It's true. Adam doesn't like to pry, so you're making him uncomfortable.
I don't. No. Well, I got to be honest.
He's gonna pry now.
No, I will say, you know, it's a tough job because I don't like confrontation. I don't like asking uncomfortable questions, and I will never do that off the air. But then on the air, yeah, I'll go home, and my wife, who's in love with you and Carmen as well, will be like, oh, what happened? Why didn't you ask Dave about it? And how come you didn't, you know, figure it out? The last time
it's
we saw...
Mrs. Carolla.
The last time I saw the two
because
of you, you were very...
Because I'd call your wife off the air. Please. And just give her the straight answer, and we can move on. No,
please.
Go ahead.
You're very much in love, yes. I'll say this about Carmen and Dave. They're both two of the nicest people you'll ever want to gonna come across, but a little troubled past. Yes? I mean, you both had some hardships in life.
For sure, absolutely. Who hasn't, though? You know what I mean?
Well, it's a matter of degree.
Yeah, we have a pretty gnarly degree of... I have.
You've had. Your mother, yeah, for sure. Your mother was murdered by stepfather?
Not by her ex-boyfriend.
When you were 15?
Yeah. So, not easy.
Right, not easy. And Carmen has had difficulties.
Yes, she has.
As well. But you two were very much in love.
Yes, I would go so far as to say you still are. You know, we're the best of friends. And, you know, one thing I really maintain is that just because your romantic life ends doesn't mean your friendship has to end.
Mm-hmm. You know, so you stay in touch and will?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. She's still my best friend in the world.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you still love her?
Oh, totally.
Well,
totally.
If it were up to you, would you reconcile?
That's a tough question to answer at 8:41 in the morning. You know, that's a big question, you know? Yeah. And all I can tell you is that I'm grateful to have the relationship that I have with her now. And, you know, what'll be, what'll be, you know?
And what about Brooke Burke? Hot?
Yeah, she's very attractive, but I think she's also very pregnant.
Yeah, oh, really? She's starting to show a little bit, yeah. I noticed.
Which actually makes her less attractive. I don't know how.
I think she looks hot pregnant.
No, she's gorgeous. And, you know, what it does for the skin, my God.
Yeah. You know, those yeah, like she was a troll before.
Yeah.
Hey, no.
Next time you see her, tell her.
I don't mean that she's less attractive. It's just once she's, quote unquote, with child, you don't have those kinds of thoughts anymore.
Wasn't she married recently as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
And just broke off now pregnant?
Well, no, I think she was... I don't want to necessarily spill her life.
But, go ahead.
But it's been in the... Okay.
It's in the media.
Well, twist my arm. She, I guess last year they got a divorce. She was married to Garth Fisher, plastic surgeon.
Mm. Fantastic doctor.
Yeah, one of the top guys in the... Best in the city.
Look at me.
That's right. Did all Perkins work?
He gets the house. She gets to keep the boobs. Exactly. It's all above the board.
Hey, the great drummer, Stephen Perkins of Jane's Addiction. One of the most underrated drummers in the last quarter century. What do you guys think of Dave Navarro being on Rockstar? Does this hurt the cred of the band to be on this, you know, on a CBS show that's finding it's basically like American Idol for a rock band. How do you guys feel?
I think he's helping musicians find singers, and that's a great thing. And it's wonderful to see Dave on TV, and I love his personality, so I get a kick out of it.
Man, to see his face once in a while is nice, as we've discussed earlier. All right, we're going to take a break. You guys going to play? Okay. Yes, Dave, go ahead.
I was going to answer that question. Like, ironically, it somehow does. I'll just say this. It kind of does, but who cares, dude?
Does what? It hurts the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I get emails and I get posts on the website, you know, like, you know, sellout and, you know, CBS and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, man, what I'm trying to do is like Steve said, help, like, these singers be discovered, because put rock and roll on primetime national television is an awesome thing. Where else at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock on CBS, except for CSI, where are you going to hear, like, The Who being performed by an unknown artist?
Good point.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, that's what we're doing. Yeah. We're championing great music. And that's what's inspiring about it to me.
Well, we're going to... Dave.
Thank you.
Well put. And you're so good on the show, and your comments always make the show.
That's true.
Oh, that's very nice.
All right.
We should hear the stuff that gets edited out, though.
I can assure you.
Do they edit you in such a way to shape you?
Not to shape me, but, you know, you got to think about the fact that it's me and Tommy Lee on the couch, you know, doing this show, and we only have, like, 48 minutes to cram everything, all the performances and the comments together, and we're taping that thing. It's like a three-hour day.
Tommy Lee, one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet, right?
Couldn't be nicer.
Really?
He has...
Dumb even by drummer standards, by the way. No offense, Steven.
He has,
that hurts.
But
no offense, Steve.
You know, there's an old joke. You know, when I was a kid, my mom said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I said, "I want to be a drummer." She said, "You can't do both."
Whoa!
That's good.
He is rapidly becoming one of my favorite people of all time.
He is like a tattooed puppy dog with a huge schwanz.
Unbelievable.
Right? Yes, he's just a nice... He is their... you realize everyone always puts an emphasis on, oh, this guy's dynamic or this guy's on the vanguard of whatever. Tommy Lee's a nice guy. It is easy to hang around with.
I mean, we'll be backstage and we'll be waiting to get the show going. It'll be first thing in the morning. You know, we get up at like, we get there like 6 in the morning and I'm cranky and I'm drinking my coffee and I'm smoking and I'm pissed off and I got to be up that early. Everybody else walks in. They're kind of like pissed off and just kind of cranky. And then he rolls in and it's literally like, he's got a heart light like E.T. You know what I mean? He comes in and it just warms up the room. It's unbelievable.
Except that it's his penis that lights his
pulsating penis, not his finger.
Giant glowing penis. Your
hot penis. That's right. Listen, there's rolling blackouts, Tommy. Pull out the wang. We need to find our way to the exit. We'll take a quick break. The Panic Channel's going to play live for us after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Loxahatchee, Florida. A 20-year-old man died of heat stroke after the airboat he was on with his uncle got stuck in the mud of the Everglades. Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah. And again, thanks to the good people at Alcoa for sponsoring.
And by the way, you could have cut that one off. Definitely not a Jew at Loxahatchee, Florida.
That would have started, but the airboat, I think, is what sealed the deal. The Panic Channel in studio. They're going to be playing live for us in 20 seconds. Also in, let's see, about 15 hours or so, they'll be on Jimmy Kimmel Live. I suggest you guys take a nap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Take one of those rock and roll 9-hour naps in the middle of the day. They're going to take a nap, and they'll be on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight on ABC, 12:05. But first, they'll play live for us. And don't worry about shooting your wad. Go right ahead. You know what I mean? Get it all out. Don't leave anything on the playing field.
We like to shoot our wad in the morning, actually.
Do that in the morning. And if you show up sort of half-cock for Kimmel, well, so be it. Half-cock for Kimmel. That's going to be the name of my tell-all.
It's not the first time you've ever said that, is it?
That'll be my tell-all book.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the Panic Channel, everybody.
1, 2, 3. We'll be right back.
Panic Channel, everybody.
You know what, Adam? Yes. I gotta say, one thing I really appreciate about this show is you guys aren't all ostentatious and showy with like the equipment you have in here. You know, you really make it sound like it's just raw. You know, you don't show off all the technological gear you have in here.
Yeah.
Wow. Keep it real.
I know we don't have a great budget around here for the live bands, but you sounded great. Despite the equipment, the Panic Channel 1, name of the CD, out as we speak and on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight as well, playing live 12:05, and you start watching then, and then the band shows up. Guys, great seeing you.
Thanks for having us.
Much success to you. Teresa, what's coming up on the news?
We got a little JonBenet Ramsey talk, a little K-Fed, and a little Snakes on Plane.
I want to hang out with
JonBenet. Wow. I know. It's a good story.
You know, my away message on my instant messenger
is
a picture of JonBenet. You know, my AIM thing?
Right.
It says, justice for JonBenet.
Yes.
Good for you.
Because it's about time.
I think so.
Yes. When are blonde white people going to start getting some justice in this country? I'm sorry. Someone had to say it.
Well, she's a child.
You're right.
Yes,
you're right.
She was a six-year-old.
And also, aren't we going to have someone phoning in?
Yes. We have a guy who was on the airplane that John Mark Carr was flying from Bangkok to L.A. He was on the plane. He's going to give us an eyewitness testimony about the flight.
All right. I hope it's Samuel L. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with that after this.
Do yourself a favor. Keep listening. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
This is Doug Savant from Desperate Housewives, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we got news. We got sports. And as an added bonus just for our listeners, we have someone who's on the flight with John Carr from Thailand. He's Tom Piozzi. We'll talk to him. He's a freelance photographer, videographer, working for NBC News. He was on the flight up there in first class with John. So we'll talk to him at the end of the news. But first, the news with Teresa Strasser.
Well, Saddam Hussein on trial again. His second trial opened today, but he refused to enter a plea. This on charges of genocide connected to the offensive against the Kurds almost 2 decades ago. The ousted Iraqi leader faces a possible death penalty if he's convicted. Now, you may remember he was recently on trial. And if he's convicted there, which happens in October, he will be hanged. So there are potentially 2 death sentences for Saddam Hussein.
So we hang him and then we cut him down and we throw him in an electric chair. And we take care of business.
Well, he's requested a firing squad. So maybe after the hanging, there's a shooting, and then it's very complicated.
Yeah. I think I'd go, whatever it is, I'd like it done by surprise. You know what I mean? To me, it's the long walk to the firing squad. It's the long walk to the gallows. That's the part I wouldn't like. To me, kill me in my sleep. Put an M80 in my ass. I don't care. Just do it while I'm asleep.
You don't want to know when it's coming.
That's right. That's the torturous part.
Well, in entertainment news, at the box office this weekend, Snakes on a Plane. Everyone thought because of all the internet hype it was going to do huge money. It did $15.3 million, just edging out Talladega Nights. Now, the catch is that they included returns from Thursday night. So if they hadn't, it wouldn't have been number one. If you didn't see the movie, here is Samuel L. Jackson.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane! Everybody strap in! I'm about to open some fucking windows.
I enjoy that. I don't need to see the movie now.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's all I need.
It's too CGI'd to me. I see all or whatever you want to call it. They're getting too happy with the computers.
You don't look real enough, the snakes?
Nah, they're biting everyone in the face, and I gotta figure out how they got on the plane.
Well, Ozzy's review did nothing to clarify that earlier.
Ozzy doesn't even know when I'm talking anymore. I try to ask him questions. I really do. It's no answers.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
The Teen Choice Awards were last night, and K-Fed had his much-awaited debut live performance. Now, here's a weird thing. K-Fed is a professional dancer. He was on tour with Britney Spears, etc. But he didn't really dance. He just did like that marching thing that rappers do when they're rapping. Anyway, here's a little snippet of K-Fed rapping at the Teen Choice Awards.
Never been a club so fresh and clean. Yeah. Not the outcast that they lay on me. Nah. Run with a team that rolls so deep. We in and out the club every day of the week. Can I make them hits when the beat drop? That's when you say, hold up, stop. Yeah.
That sounds sort of Beastie Boys, circa 1989.
I was just going to say, it sounds like he's doing his impression of Be Real from Cypress Hill, is who he sounds like.
He looked a little nervous and awkward on stage. I was hoping for more. I really wanted to see him dance. Yeah. But he brought another
better quality.
Better quality.
When did, first off, when did we start caring about teens so goddamn much? I'm tired of teens.
And their choices.
Yes. Here's your choice. Shut up or be quiet. Those are my two choices for you teens listening.
Well, someone who never became a teen.
Second choice, my way or the highway. It's when Patrick, what the hell's his
name? Swayze?
Swayze, yes. I wouldn't say Duffy.
Best cooler in the business.
No doubt about it. I thought he'd be bigger. Point is, I did that teen choice. I did the Teen Choice Awards for a couple of years, like 5 or 6 years ago. It's no big deal. Now it's turned into a big thing. What's going on?
It is a big deal. Jessica Simpson hosted with Dane Cook, and it was a big deal because Nick Lachey, who obviously just got divorced from Jessica Simpson, won an award. So there was a little moment, which in fact I have. You'd like to hear it.
Hear that.
Nick Lachey won for What's Left of Me, his ex-wife hosting. Here's how he handled it.
Wow. You know, I just want to start off by saying, awkward.
Yeah.
I think he had planned that in advance.
Good thing Jessica doesn't know what awkward means.
He should have. Why didn't he just go up there and say, hey, Jessica, you hear all those screaming girls out there? I can bang every one of them if I want to.
Nay,
I
have.
Well, that was the Teen Choice Awards. Someone who had no choice in whether or not she was going to become a teen. Poor little JonBenet Ramsey. Killed 10 years ago. No one knows really who, but this fellow John Mark Carr has confessed to killing her. He was flown into Los Angeles this morning after a flight from Thailand, and there's a lot of discussion about this flight, which we'll get to momentarily, about him being in first class and how he was treated, etc. We have someone who was on the flight with him to give us an eyewitness account. Meanwhile, this John Mark Carr was teaching in various countries. He was moved around, and it's no surprise that he was creepy. And over the weekend, one of his coworkers went on the Today Show and discussed his recollections of John Mark Carr.
Strange, not very outgoing, kept to himself, didn't make friends, and, very strange relationship with his students in terms of how he disciplined them, very stern and too strict, really, is what a lot of teachers said, and just a very odd fellow.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Listen, this is why I'm not going to go to open house or anything, you know, when my kids enter school. I don't believe in putting that kind of pressure on them or getting off the sofa, but I will. Via video conferencing, eyeball every teacher that is working my kids over. You just eyeball these guys. You size the pants up. You size the man up. You look at this guy. He screams pedophile. He bleeds pedophile.
But is it just because we know that we see that when we look at him, or would we know anyway?
You know, it's tough because it is interesting, like, if they did match the caption, if they did a whole bunch of different people being led on CNN and you had no sound and they just had the different perp walk and they had the different crimes under, if you could match them up, write this down. Get Trebek on the blower.
Match the perp walk with the crime?
Right. I think I could match him up.
Yeah, he'd be a pretty easy one. Well, should we talk to Tom Piozza?
Terrorists would not be on there. You know what I mean? Right. I mean, in terms of the perp walk. Sorry. Yeah, Tom was on the flight. Tom?
Yeah.
You just, well, when did the plane land?
The plane got in last night at, about half an hour late, about 10 after 9, I think.
And you were on it from Thailand, right?
Yes, I was. Are you asking me on the air now, or you're briefing me?
No, I'm asking you on the air.
Oh, okay, sorry about that.
We wouldn't be talking if this was off the air.
Yeah, well, anyway, I was in Thailand doing this high-definition camera seminar, and NBC called me to do this gig and said if I could come back, so I just switched my flight and got on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nightmare of security there at the airport, mostly because of the London bomb threats.
Right.
And when I got up to the gate, finally, they just brought him out like a regular passenger and sat him down amongst the others, even though he had guards around him, right? And that was quite interesting. And then passengers were kind of wondering when they let him onto the plane quickly, why is this guy, if he's a murder suspect, not in handcuffs or something?
Yeah.
So people on the media have been making a big deal out of eating king prawns and pate and maybe sip some champagne and whatnot.
Did he do that?
To the best of my knowledge, he did from what I heard of other people, but that's what they were offering in business class. So to me, if you're going to be in business
true.
Class, what's that might be eat? An issue or not, but you'd probably be eating that kind of food.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I fly business and first quite often, and oftentimes they do that thing where they're coming around with the menu, and they're like, you want the salmon or you want the chicken? I'm like, oh, I'll take the salmon. We're out of the salmon. Now, if some pedophile in front of me ate the salmon, I'd be PO'd.
If you took
I'm sure it's happened 100 times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it is funny that he wasn't cuffed or anything, but I guess if a guy like that fled, all you'd have to do is take your shoe off and throw it at him, and you'd knock him down, possibly killing him.
I think they probably thought he wasn't a huge physical threat, but still, on a long flight, when people are getting tired, you know, if you did decide, or you are a little bit mentally unstable, perhaps, who knows this person's condition, but given the nature of the crime he's accused of and the nature of his circumstances and everything, everybody's heard about him in Thailand, you might wonder.
So what was your job was to go on the plane, fly, do the flight with him up there in business class and film during the flight?
Yeah, just to be on there protectively, and there were three other video camera people and then a couple of stills on there, and we were able to get on the plane first and come in and photograph him being seated and whatnot. And then once the other high-paying first, you know, business class passengers came on, they started looking a little bit upset and a little bit uneasy at the fact that, hey, there's all these cameras in our expensive seats. So we quickly worked it out with the airline and these Homeland Security, ICE Department, whatever they are, marshals, to kind of organize ourselves and say, okay, we'll give him a chance to answer some questions and a photo opportunity about an hour into the flight.
And so he spoke during the flight.
Decided not to speak. Started much, you know, acting much more like he was taking the fifth from than what he did at his press conference he had in Thailand. And so we did that, and you know, then got out of everybody's way and went back to all our seats, and then just kept an eye on him. And just by good journalistic luck or whatever, I caught him on his bathroom trips three different times going to the restroom. And I don't know if
talk
he went
about
four
serendipity.
Or not. Like I said, it was a long flight, and I was a little bit ahead.
Woodward and bathroom.
I'll tell you, you know your ship has arrived when the pedophile's going to the bathroom.
Serendipity. Yes.
Yes.
I've done it again.
So, Tom, as a pedophile yourself, could you answer this important question? No. Tom, I'm guessing you're a straight man.
Yes, that would be correct. And
plenty of fun to be had in Thailand, eh?
Probably not really worth joking about that topic anyway. I don't mind being joked about myself, but in general, it's probably not a laughing topic.
That was in poor taste.
Yeah.
I'm sorry Dave said that. You know, our voices sound alike.
Dave can make all the fun of me he wants, but, you know, the topic itself is probably something to...
Was he allowed to go to the bathroom without cuffs and close the bathroom door?
No, actually, he didn't. That's the video I got. If you watch NBC, they're running it where they got their foot stuck in the door, so he can't close it all the way. I don't know. He's pretty well.
Did he wash his
people
hands?
Saying it was primping. Some passengers were quoted as saying he was primping before he got off the plane, but he looks pretty plasticized himself anyway.
I got to say, you know when you fly in the airline, sometimes if they're delayed, they'll give you a voucher for a drink or something like that. I'd want some compensation.
A pedophile voucher?
Oh, it's a 14-hour flight next to a pedophile with a camera going the whole time next to you. I mean, weren't there...
Yeah, there were a couple of those people when I was getting notice that people wanted to talk to passengers coming off the plane. I offered this one vocal European gentleman who wanted to lodge some complaints. I said, hey, well, if you want to tell it to the cameras, that'd be fine. No, he's saving it for the airline, so I think he could try and get some free flight credit or something, which makes sense. But actually, in the end of the day, I don't think too many passengers were that upset, other than a few people just wondering why a suspect wouldn't be cuffed. But I don't think anybody was too worried. Like you said, you'd probably knock them out.
So, Tom, for you getting on a plane and then going back to Bangkok, is that what you do?
I'll probably do that in a month or so. I do some camera work over there. I have a couple documentaries in progress over there, and we were over there doing Santa Fe high definition workshops for high end digital cinematography. It's starting to catch on over there.
Well, I want you. I want to thank you for calling in on the show, by the way, Tom. And sorry about Dave's pedophile joke.
That's okay. It's good to have fun, but
yeah, I found that in poor taste.
This is the story that quite a large life. I couldn't believe how many cameras were at LAX last night when there's, like, the ties were wondering, why is this important with so many other amazing things going on in the world?
Plus, over there, pedophiles are heroes. They're worshipped as heroes. Big sex tourism industry. Welcome, pedophiles. Come on down. Water's fine. Come on in. All righty. Is that it with the news, by the way,
Tina? I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Chubby face. Dave Damashek, he has a chubby face. He tied the knot and then he gained some weight. It all went to his face. That's why Dave Damashek has a chubby face.
See what that New York Times lady has done?
I thought it was unfair.
Smeared! Pack of lies in the New York Times.
For those who don't read the New York Times, an unfortunate profile on Adam Carolla described Dave Damashek as having a round face.
A round face.
Yes.
She's saying I'm a pie face.
Unfair.
It hurts.
Cruel. Mm.
A zero face is what she's essentially saying.
Yeah.
Can you go on?
No.
Really?
Dave.
Don't toy with me, David.
I'm done. For the next couple minutes. No, just a couple minutes. I'll be back.
But what about the sports?
We don't. We haven't the time. We got to call.
Do a quick minute.
Quick minute. All right. All right. Well, the Dodgers, you know, they're still in first place. They're four games up. They just took two or three from the Giants. Now the Padres and the Snakes get their shots. The Dodgers are paying them both visits this week. A's won yesterday. They hold their lead up over the Halos. And Tiger Woods won the PGA Championship after winning the British Open. He's returned atop the golf world. That's it. I'm not going to play my interview with him. We haven't the time.
Really?
I had an exclusive interview with Tiger Woods.
I think we play. You just
Let's
can't tease it.
All right. Let's play. This is my chat with Tiger Woods, heart to heart.
Unique season and a unique year in your life. How would you describe it?
What? I don't know what that was.
What happened?
I don't know what that was. It's not my interview.
You didn't eat the clip, did you?
Oh, hell.
You don't have it?
You know what?
Hmm.
I'm out of here.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
It was gripping for those of you who missed it in the
Sabotage!
6 o'clock hour.
The New York Times lady now this.
Let's find it and play when we come back.
We'll take a quick break. We'll find it. We'll play Damashek's interview with Tiger Woods when we come back. Also, a real, honest-to-God prisoner, David. He's our buddy. He calls in from the California State Prison. We can't say which one. He calls in and tells us what's going on over there. Always a good time
with
him. Talk to him after this as well.
Do yourself a favor. Keep listening. It's the Adam Carolla Show. In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. But who represents the criminals?
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Yeah. We do. It's prison time on the Adam Carolla Show.
Thank you. A little confusion about whether my mic should be on or off sometimes during the show.
On.
Okay, we'll go with on. Let's throw caution in the wind. David?
Yes, I'm here.
Good to talk to you. The always chipper David.
Yeah.
In California State Prison, we won't say which one. In for life, right?
Yes.
For a conspiracy to murder your wife, was it?
It was a witness in a pending case.
Ah, that's right. A witness, that's right. And you didn't do it.
No, absolutely not. It was a frame-up, man.
How, I would be more upset if I were you, if I was in prison for a lifetime. You've been in for, what was it, like 13 years already?
Yes.
And you had nothing to do with it?
Nothing, absolutely nothing. They got me on a wiretap, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wiretap. Oh, here comes that recording. Oh, no, it didn't come yet. So, David, how are things inside the joint today?
Well, it's getting kind of overcrowded. You know, people are a little tension once in a while. But other than that, you know, everybody's just doing their time.
And are you with the guys? When I went to visit a prison, not to do a charity concert or anything, just to make fun of the prisoners for a bit for the man show. But we got to go to a place, Jimmy and I went to a place where they had sort of the model citizens. Even though these guys were in for murder, they weren't the troublemakers, and they got to hang out as long as they minded their P's and Q's. Is that where you're at?
Yes.
So in this place that you're at, there's none of the racially segregated gangs or any of the guys that are putting shivs in people.
Well, you know, pretty much even at the soft places, everywhere there's that kind of thing going on. You know, it's just part of the racial, the prison culture is just basically like that in California. In other states, it's different, but here, that's the way it's laid down.
And what if you were to have a black best friend and a Mexican best friend, and I would say Jewish, but there's none of them in there. I was going to go Asian, too, but I don't think we have too many of those. So you just had a black guy you wanted to hang out with, like Forrest Gump did, you know?
Yes.
And could you and that guy just be best buddies and people leave you alone?
To some extent. I mean, you know, friends is friends, but when it comes down to racial stuff, you know, that's it's just all put in a line like that.
So even in the group you're with, there would be trouble?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, good times.
Hey, are you aware of this John Carr thing, the JonBenet guy who claimed to have killed the little girl?
Yes, I saw the news last night.
Now, what happens to him if he gets sent to that jail? How will he be treated?
He's in trouble, Dave.
Really?
Yeah.
What would happen to him?
Well, they probably have to transfer him to a PC unit or something, put him in an ADSEG or you know, something like that. They have to keep him away. Kind of like, what's his name, Peterson.
Right.
Scott Peterson.
The PC's protective custody, right?
Yes.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Yeah.
I tell you, I got to get that going on all my outgoing calls.
It is
to freak
macho
moms out.
I tell you, Teresa, you're definitely loved here in the prison.
Oh,
everybody loves you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's good to hear.
Yeah, sometimes when I do these prison segments, guys come up to me and say, man, we really want to talk to Teresa. I say, well, you know, one of these times we'll get a chance. I'll put some guys on the phone to talk to Teresa. You know?
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of women fall in love with guys behind bars, and even though it doesn't sound practical, there are a few pluses. You know what I mean? He can't step out on you. He's not going to nail your best friend. You know where he is.
He'll appreciate every little letter and phone call.
Absolutely.
You bring him a pack of cigarettes, he goes through the roof.
I got guys right here. Let's go ahead and try it out. Let's see. Hey, you want to talk to a girl on the phone? Let's see what happens. I'll put some guys on her now.
Okay.
Please.
Okay, his name is Big Tough. He's from Los Angeles, California.
Oh.
6'2", 250 pounds, solid milk chocolate muscle.
Mm.
He loves everything about women and believes that ladies are God's greatest gift to mankind.
Fortunately, has to kill.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Mm-hmm.
A.K.A. Big Tough. Hello?
Hi, Big Tough.
Hey, how you doing? I wrote a poem for you. You ready for it?
Yeah.
All right, I call it My Gift to a Stranger, Teresa. T is for tantalizing. Are you an attainable desire? A is for alluring. Please cast your spell on me. R is for romantic. Your special someone doesn't have to be just a dream. E is for elegance, the part of you that must be earned before it is shared. S is for sensuality, your gift to the man who touches your heart and connects with your soul. A is for authentic, genuine, credible, reliable, one who keeps it real, Teresa. A chance to define and understand is all I seek. All right, that's me.
I'd like to add that E is for education.
Okay, that's cool, too.
That was beautiful. Thank you, Big Tough.
All right. We're going to put him back on the phone.
Thank you, Big Tough.
All right.
Not so tough after all.
No.
All
right,
he's melted. He's tough.
Okay, we got another guy.
Oh.
This guy's white.
Ah.
From Orange County, California.
Refreshing. Local boy.
6'3". Brown hair, brown eyes. Describes himself as 205 pounds of lean, mean, loving machine. His interests include reading, yoga, volunteer work, turn-ons, intelligence, confidence.
And serial murder.
No silicone. You don't like chicks with silicone. He likes women with unusual shaped noses.
Ooh.
Here's John.
He's found a home.
Hello.
Hey, John.
Hi. Hey, how you doing?
Good to speak to you. You want to sweet talk Teresa?
Teresa.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? Listen, I don't have any poems for you or anything, but I just really want to be your pen pal. I understand that...
The pen part down.
Hold on.
Thank you.
How, are you going to get out anytime soon? Because I could use a friend that has some experience.
My parole date is like 2022.
Oh.
When I'm eligible. Yeah.
What are you in for?
I am in for possession of a half gram of narcotics.
What? Right. Oh, that's not... Is it your second offense?
Third offense.
Oh.
Yeah, 25 to life, 3 strikes. Yeah,
so what? 25 years? I don't care how many times you're holding the weed. Jesus, that's crazy.
I don't think it was weed.
Yeah, no. It was something else.
What were your prior offenses, your other two?
I was an unarmed bank robber.
Well, now the puzzle's starting to come into focus.
You know, go and ask for the money and just leave. Nobody gets hurt.
Left on this call.
What was the second offense?
Same thing.
Loving too much. That's what I'm guilty of.
I'm guilty of that, too. I think we have a lot in common because I'm in an emotional prison.
Yeah. Well, you know, I heard you just went through a breakup.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know. Was the guy mean to you or what?
No, you know, just it didn't work out.
Okay. Because I was going to say, you know, if he was, like, didn't treat you well, we got guys here who can take care of that. Too.
Really? Because I do have some people right now that I'm not happy with.
Listen, I want to be your pinto. I want to write to you if you want to write to me. You know, take a walk on the wild side. See what, you know, you might like me. We might learn something about each other. But I got another guy here.
Oh.
Or Dave has another guy here who wants to play you a song.
Oh,
but
well, thank you,
Dave
John.
Is Navarro there?
No, Navarro has left.
I'm mad because they kicked Zaire off the show.
I was mad, too. I love her.
Oh, she was great. She made the show.
Let's say prison's not such a bad hand anymore.
Not. We got to give it to the guitar guy. We got to get guitar.
All right, we're going to get thrown off the line. So hand the...
I'm turning it over. Teresa, it's nice talking to you.
Nice talking
to
you, too.
Hope you're right to you soon, huh?
Yeah.
Adam.
Yes.
Okay, we got our last guy real quick here. Convict number three from Baja Peninsula in Mexico.
Perfect.
He's got dark hair, brown eyes, a tender 33 years old. Describes himself as a professional bilingual musician who plays 10 different instruments. He made his debut, you might remember, right here on the Adam Carolla Show 2 months ago. He was playing Folsom Prison Blues. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
His name is Ray Ray Medina, a.k.a. Gato.
That was going to be funky cold, but all right. Let's do it. The cat.
Hold the phone for me.
Ray Ray.
Okay. You ready? He's
going to
play a little song for you.
Enough is enough!
Apparently, you only get 41 minutes before they cut you off.
So is it bachelor number one, number two, or number three?
Well, to be fair, I never got to hear Ray Ray's song.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, one and two were both very charming.
We're going to send out a... Send out a packet of Brusca.
Is
generously going to give a pack of smokes to the winner.
I think number
yes.
one should get the pack of smokes because he wrote a beautiful poem, Big Tough, and he showed he's not so tough.
You know the thing that's weird about all guys that sort of have violence or chaos in their life? I found this from hanging around with quite a few boxers in my life. When they're not kicking the S out of you, they're the nicest guys in the world. Whereas you take your guy who never laid a hand on another man or shown his back of his hand to a woman or anything, that guy's sort of the same. He sort of doesn't have highs, he doesn't have lows, he's kind of boring, maybe a little standoffish, whatever. These guys are either saccharine sweet. I guess it's the same thing people like Rosie O'Donnell have and stuff like that. They're the crazy saccharine sweet or the crazy narcissistic out of control bitches. These guys are that way too. They're either funny, gregarious, and easygoing, or they're beating you with a cell phone.
Well,
it's kind of the Mike Tyson syndrome.
Right.
If you speak to Mike Tyson, he's like, thank you very much. Enjoy the show. I'm a big fan. Or he's physically beating the F out of you.
Yeah, I would say I tend to date very mellow guys that have never been in a fight, but there's something too. I'm out on a date with Big Tough and somebody looks at me the wrong way and then Big Tough just takes him out.
Oh,
he defends me.
He's whittling a shiv with Brusca's name on it as we speak. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with the overdue interview, the long-awaited interview with our own Dave Damashek and one Tiger Woods after this.
Do yourself a favor. Keep listening. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, home slice? It's Jack the Man Silver. We got a hell of a show for you tomorrow. UFC superstar Chuck Liddell and host of UFC's All Access, Rochelle Leah. Hey, Tad and I are both excited. Also, comedian Mike Birbiglia. Maybe you can give the Jack Man some tips for his open mic night next week at the Chuckle Hut. As if late.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, not. All righty. Dave.
Yes, Adam.
Your much-anticipated replay of the Tiger Woods interview.
Yeah, I think it's important because in a world where, you know, like your father and you said you have had some discourse, some unpleasantries, you know, over the years. And discourse. Anyway, listen, We also there's disdain? Also disdain stuff that starts with
disquietude,
right?
D-I-S and whatever else you want to put after it. And then there's also the story about Jesse Barfield, the former All-Star of the Blue Jays, just got into a fight with his son Jeremy, the Mets draft pick, and the boy threw him down the staircase.
Nice.
So that's not nice. Now, on the other hand, Tiger Woods, his father just passed away, as you know, earlier this year. Very sad. They shared a much closer bond, which I didn't realize until I sat down with him moments after his victory at the PGA Championship yesterday. Tiger, thanks for joining me. First of all, congratulations. The British Open and now the PGA Championship. You must be on cloud nine, huh?
What I live for as a kid is to win the biggest events.
I'm sure growing up you never thought that you'd wind up with such an unbelievable fox as that wife of yours. Just listen, indulge me for a second. Walk me through it. What's going through your head when you're between the sheets with her?
I wish my dad was here.
You wish your dad was in the room? What are you talking about?
My mom's been there. But, you know, Pops, it wasn't there, so.
So you, your wife, and your mother have all had sex together, and now you wish that your old man would have been a part of it, too. Odd choice.
I think Pops was definitely in my ear today.
Listen, I am no stranger to making love to another man's ear. Just ask Jim Brusca to make sure it's in his good ear. But what you're talking about is incest, man. Wow. I had no idea, Tiger. You are one weird, kinky dude. A frank and open Tiger Woods.
Dave Tamashek's.
Yeah, I knew we parted ways when he announced that he revered his father and that he had an unstoppable work ethic at that point. That's when we went our separate ways.
You're sort of like the three bears, you know, too warm or too cold or whatever. Like, say, on one hand, you're not that close with your father as Tiger was with his old man, but on the other hand, you never threw your old man down a flight of stairs.
That's like, true.
Somewhere in between.
We're all somewhere in between.
Although Ozzy told me, I asked him how the twins were. He said the little boy is gordito.
Yeah. He's got a weight problem. Mijo! I'm going to put him on a treadmill this afternoon. Literally just drop him on. I'll get it going about 40 miles an hour. I'll aim it toward Mecca. And hopefully I'll hit the neighbor's pool. And I'll just drop the kid onto it.
Husky.
The kid is fat.
No.
What are you going to do?
He's so little. He's only, what, 2 months old?
I told my wife he was built like a butt plug, and she about jumped out of her skin. And I explained to her, we don't have to physically use him as one. He's just built like that.
Maybe a football player.
That's going to lead, that kind of comment's going to lead to discourse.
Yes.
Yes.
Discord.
He looks like a, he's really like a freshman Samoan at SC is basically how he's built. A lot of chow on that kid.
Chemo Corolla.
No neck at all. Zero. The huge drilled out guy, I was going to get him for a second birthday out of the question. Now, no place to put it. Kid has no neck. All righty. Let's take ourselves a little extendo break, namely the end of the show. Let's not forget, everyone, we're going to be doing a little car wash dealio this Friday. 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. out on Melrose. We'll give you more about that, but just pencil us in. Bring your car down. Have a good time. Ozzy's going to be cooking his flap steak. I think we've wrestled away a few likettes or something, so they'll be dropping a chamois or two. And tomorrow, Chuck Liddell in here, as mentioned earlier. I want to thank the Panic Channel for coming in. Those guys are great. CD1 out as we speak, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.